she kick him, boys?
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
We're sending a squad up.
Negative. We have a reactor leak here now. Give us a few minutes to lock it down. Large leak. Very dangerous.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Boring conversation anyway.
Whoa! We're gonna have company!
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Singer about the Mona and the Juna and the Springer.
And I will pledge with mine.
I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T for Tua.
Or leave a kiss within the cup.
Anything with a
hook.
And I love you. And
enough is too much. Out of my house, you Hatcha, you Karuna, you Falsetta, you Share Singer, you. Fooey!
Hiya, sweetheart. How are you?
Good.
Sit down, have a drink. Come on. Give us a drink. Get them all a drink there.
Good.
And give those Irish hoodlums a drink down there.
There's only one Irishman here.
Yeah. It's a celebration, fellas. Salud.
Top of the morning to you.
Good to be home.
Welcome back.
Hey, Tommy, all dressed up. All grown up and doing the town. Look at this.
Oh,
Tommy.
I forgot you were so
Tommy.
Funny.
Oh, come here.
Hey, Billy, how are you?
Tommy, get over here. I haven't seen you in six fucking years.
How you doing, Billy?
Jesus Christ almighty. You look terrific.
Are you?
Watch this, too. Watch this, too, you little frick. Hey, I know you all my life.
All right, good.
You're getting too big on me now.
Don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Hey, Tommy, if I was going to break your balls, I'd tell you to go home and get your shine box. Oh, this kid was great. They used to call him Spit Shine Tommy. I swear to God, he'd make your shoes look like mirrors. Excuse my language. He was terrific. He was the best. And he made a lot of money, too. Salud, Tommy.
No more shines, Billy.
What?
I said no more shines. Maybe you didn't hear about it. You've been away a long time. They didn't go up there and tell you. I don't shine shoes anymore.
Relax, will you, for crying out? What's got into you? I'm breaking your balls a little bit, that's all. I'm only kidding with you.
Sometimes you don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
I mean, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and you're right away, you're getting fucking fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay, salud. Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Come on. I love to sing about the moon and the June and the Springer. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T for two. Anything with a swing of two, and I love you. I love what you sing.
Oh,
children. It's him at the radio station.
Mommy, don't Major Boat's gonna get me. Got through Yale with Bula Bula La-Dee-Do. Oh, microphone's got me. I love to sing. I love to wake up with the salsa in my mouth. And wave the flag with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another former mammy. I love to sing. I love to sing about the moon and the June and the spring. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T42, anything with a swing of two. And I love you. I love to sing.
Hey, is it Friday or something? What the hell's going on here? Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. It's Nowhere Mulberry. Hey! Welcome. How's it going? I am so excited to be here. I am Jason here in the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. We talk film, television, and pop culture. Hey, that makes sense. I don't do it alone. I do it with Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Steven's Bill?
It's late again.
Hey, how'd you know? Yeah, I don't know how he does it. He lands an airplane, he comes right over for the show. So let's hand it to Steven there, huh? So how you doing, Bill?
I'm pretty good. I'm sitting here, got the TV on beside me, checking out the Michael Jackson obituary that they constantly play.
Yeah, apparently Michael Jackson dropped dead yesterday.
Yeah.
So in case you didn't know, it's on every channel.
Yeah, constantly.
And apparently they forgot all about Ed McMahon already.
Yeah, they forgot about Ed McMahon. They forgot about Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, what a trifecta
there.
Now
it's just Michael Jackson.
Remember when Princess Di died and that was all that was on TV?
Oh, God, yeah.
And I remember we were on vacation and, you know, I'd flip on the TV and I would go, what the hell? Princess Di died? And we were, like, flipping channels. It's like every channel and... The next day, you turn on the TV, and everyone's talking about it, and it's just like, newsflash, she's still dead. Back to you.
Yeah. I think it was like my junior year in high school whenever I came home that night around, like, midnight, and it was like every channel's Princess Diana died in a car crash.
You were still in high school when she died?
Yes, I was.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I forget that you're a lot younger than me.
I was a junior year in high school.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Michael Jackson's dead. I don't know if I'm not an insensitive person, I don't think, but I see a lot of people getting a little carried away on, oh, he's gone, I loved his music, yeah, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, oh, okay.
I'll be the first to admit the guy was talented, but guess what? He was also a pedophile. He was a lunatic. And yeah, there's some of that's blamed on his parents for... You know, not giving him a childhood, and all he did was grow up to be a child,
well,
a man-child.
Also, this is kind of how I felt about it. Whoever he was died a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that was left was this weird, like,
the moment he
mental...
started lightning in color, he died.
I don't know. Whatever. It's sad when anyone dies, so, hey, farewell, Michael, right?
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
You can moonwalk in the clouds.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, I wanted to mention that next week we're not doing a show. It's the 4th of July weekend, but we are going to record our NIMM Book Club show where we talk about The Gunslinger.
Yes.
And I was going to ask you this. What about Thursday for doing this? I don't know if it's going to be live or whatever. Maybe we could do it live. I don't know. But Thursday, early.
Okay.
Because... I've got plans on Friday, but I really want to do this show and get it in the can. I've already gotten at least one voicemail talking about The Gunslinger. I'm hoping people send more at 1-206-202-3491. So basically, you have one more week, people. Call in, leave a voicemail. I'm thinking like Thursday, maybe around 7 Central Time, and we do the show, and then over the holiday weekend, release the show. And I think I'm going to create its own feed for it. maybe the first one will be on the Nowhere Mulberry feed, the first episode, but then we will switch over to a NIM book club feed that'll be that people could subscribe to that.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
But I don't know about you, but now that I finished the book and it's been a couple of weeks, I'm like itching to go on to the next book. I can't wait to talk about this book and move on. I figured we'd treat it, you know, like we do when we talk about a movie or something like that. But we'd break it down by the chapter and what we think of it. And I was even thinking about, like, since, you know, we love film and TV so much, maybe we talk about who we would like to see play the gunslinger or other characters. You know what I mean?
I think as both of us read it, we pictured our own people in it. You know, it's funny. When I read something, I never picture an actor for some reason. I just kind of go with the flow of the book. I don't know. Maybe I never really give them faces. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't always. It depends, really.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting to try to figure out who could do what.
We'll make it fun. I mean, people might think a show about a book or whatever, but yay, this is Nowhere in Mulberry. We'll do something with it, right?
Yeah.
Now, Bill, we have a crap load of voicemail this week. How crazy is that?
Feast or famine.
Feast or famine, yes it is. And I want to go ahead and get into that so we can get the show rolling. And this first voicemail, I'm not sure who left it because they didn't give their name. See if you recognize them. I don't know, but
okay.
I thought it was pretty funny. Let's check it out.
Brian Fuller quits Heroes. Wah, wah. I had already decided to stop watching it. But oh, well.
I honestly don't know, but I feel the same way. The moment I heard he quit, I just thought, well, what did Tim Kring do this time? And this season, I'm sure, will be just as terrible as the last one.
You know what? The first stories I saw were like this. Brian Fuller quits Heroes over creative differences with Tim Kring. And then I saw a news story that said Brian Fuller quits Heroes over being too busy working on two pilots.
Yeah, that's such bullshit.
So, which is it? They're like, no, you can't say that. No, he's working on several pilots. That's what it is.
Yeah, the problem is it Tim Kring.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is about that. But I hope whatever Brian Fuller does, he at least, his show gets to stay on the air for a while. I mean, I know that Pushing Daisies got two seasons. Well, kind of.
Barely, yeah.
Yeah, they confuse the hell out of viewers with the second season, but hopefully he gets a show where he can, I don't know what it is, you know, people, there's different, you know, creative people that can't seem to get that show that sticks around for years, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he seems to be the one that moves from show to show, but I tried to watch his show Wonderfalls, and I just couldn't get into that. I appreciated it for what it was, but it wasn't my type of show, and I loved Pushing Daisies. I loved the first couple episodes of Dead Like Me, and then when he left, it just totally dropped off quality-wise. It lost its whole dark humor vibe. They even started screwing around with like the established canon that he created.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like you keep watching it, Dead Like Me, but you know that it's changed a lot. It's almost like you forgive it, but you know it could have been so much better if he would have stuck around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe he's afraid to put down roots. Maybe he doesn't want to become committed to any one thing. I don't know. It's weird.
All right, we got another voicemail. This one from Brock. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, it's Brock. Thought I'd leave a message for you because you guys keep asking for messages on your voicemail.
Yes, we love it.
Well, the first thing is I want to comment on last week's show. Bill mentioned that the EGM people sent out letters, and then all of a sudden people received Maxim. We received no letters. I was an EGM subscriber, and one day in the mailbox, a magazine with Moon Bloodgood from Terminator and Burn Notice is in the mailbox with a giant sticker telling us that this magazine is now going to be sent to us instead of EGM. My wife looks at this and is like, are you kidding me? And then she sends me the article, which I think Bill saw, about how people across the country are having the same reactions as we are. We, you know, just because we like video games doesn't mean we're going to like Maxim. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things in Maxim which are interesting to look at, and some of the interviews are pretty good. And back in the day, they had those make people believe you had this sort of cool job, and like they give you like 7 talking points about how to be a spy or something. You can go to a wedding or a dinner party and convince people that you are that occupation. I didn't see that in this issue of the magazine. Needless to say, my wife wants me to call and get my money back for the remainder of the subscription, which is going to be like, what, $3 or whatever. But we're having a good laugh at this Maxim magazine. It's definitely made for teenage and early 20-year-old men. And, again, there are some things that are good about it. Actually, the new issue just arrived in my mailbox. Olivia Wilde from House is in there. And, man, she's completely topless in this, except for her hair creatively covering up the parts that would make it nudity. The second thing I want to bring up is Bill and
Isn't
I were discussing this a little bit on the forum, and Andy
underage people.
The Ghostbusters video game. I know Bill isn't too crazy about it, and I don't think it's that bad. I think, you know, it's not as fun as I want it to be, and it certainly could be funnier. And I like that the people who are in the movie, including Walter Peck, is in there. That's great. But, you know, you'd think it'd be a little funnier, and there's no way this could have been the movie of Ghostbusters 3 because it's rehashing. I think they pretty much decided to rehash the first movie once they decided it was going to be a video game just for a little bit of familiarity with certain characters. But, Bill, I would really like to hear what your thoughts are about the Ghostbusters game. Why don't you like it too much? What is it about it? Yeah, I played a Ghostbusters video game in the past. I think it was Sega System, maybe, or a Nintendo, and yeah, it was really repetitive. You shoot a ghost, trap a ghost, and that's pretty much what a Ghostbusters game has to be. So what are they missing to make it a great game? I'd love to hear your opinion. So thanks, guys. Great shows as always, and really enjoying them, and please keep up the good work. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brock. All right, Bill, you have been playing Ghostbusters. What do you think about it?
Well, I beat it on the, I think, like the medium difficulty. I never play the hardest right up front because you got to get a feel for the game. The reason why I don't like it is because it's an amalgam of every other game from the past 10 years. You have Beyond Good and Evil in there, the game where you had to take pictures of whatever you were fighting to get information on it. You have Gears of War with the over-the-shoulder, you know, the third-person shooter. Put the roadie run in there where you hold down the button and you run faster, camera changes. It's kind of a reload where you have to exhaust the protein pack where you hit the right button. It's not original. It's not like wrangling a ghost should be fun.
Yeah.
But this is just like shoot ghost until it's low enough in health, throw a capture stream on it, throw out a trap, get it in the trap, rinse, repeat.
So you just do, basically, it's repetitive. You do the same thing over and over again.
And the story is really weak. I mean, it is really weak. Like Brock said, there's no way in hell this could have been Ghostbusters 3. It just isn't cohesive enough to be an actual film. I think the two people that come off the best in it is Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd. Bill Murray sounds like Bill Murray doing a Peter Venkman impression. It's not that good of a game. And it can be really easy at times and then ridiculously frustratingly hard at others. You know, it's very inconsistent. This game should have had a lot more polish. It should have been more original. When you're making a game based on, you know, such a beloved franchise, don't borrow from every other game developer out there. Make your own game. Make your own system. It just felt like the developers were like, okay, we got this Ghostbusters property. Let's make a game. Let's make it like every other great game out there. So maybe if we make it like them, the greatness will rub off.
I mean, it should be a lot of fun if it's the Ghostbusters.
It should. And at times it is.
I mean, you got the proton pack,
right?
Very
slim and none.
Is having the proton pack cool, but it wears off pretty fast? Or?
Yeah, well, the thing is with the proton pack is as you go along, like each ghost you trap, each mission you complete, you earn money. And then you have to upgrade the pack for better qualities. It's not like you just have the standard proton pack with the proton stream. You know, you get that at first, and then you've got to add a stream that can slow things down, and then you've got to add a stream that's almost like a nuclear fireball stream, and then you add the slime gun, and all that. And it's just, it's the same thing over again.
It's repetitive.
Certain ghosts you have to slime, then you have to catch them, then you have to capture them. You know,
it's just repetitive and derivative,
yeah,
basically.
It's incredibly derivative. It is not a good game. And I don't understand why there's all these like 8.0 reviews out there, especially on Metacritic, because it's not good.
Maybe it's just people are excited to have a Ghostbusters game. Do you remember, was it like two or, I don't remember how long ago it was, but there was this video of a Ghostbusters game.
Yes.
And people freaked out over it. Is that, it didn't live up to those expectations, I guess?
Well, you know what? I think it feels and looks very similar to what that was. The whole over-the-shoulder thing.
Right.
Oh, and that was the other thing. Like, they even borrow from mediocre games like Dead Space, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but still, it's not a great game. Where on Dead Space, all the information you need to know about your character and everything, your weapons, your entire HUD is on your back.
Right.
And they did that. They put all of that on the Proton Pack. And the Proton Pack is incredible. The detail in the Proton Pack each time you upgrade it and everything is amazing. But it's like they concentrated so much on the Proton Pack that they forgot everything else. I was really, really disappointed. This game should have been good. It should have been original and just wasn't.
So, Steven, you know not to get Ghostbusters. Hey, it's
hey!
Steven!
No, you know what? I would love to play Ghostbusters with you and Steven on the multiplayer. I hear the multiplayer is a blast. You can go through the different campaigns, and then there's a mode called Slimer Slam, I think. You all have to catch the Slimer ghost, and whoever captures him the most wins.
Love
but
Slimer.
I guess you can like screw with the other people while they're trying to capture him. So it's like, you know, every man for himself. And it looks fun. And I'm sure multiplayer-wise it would be fun. But just the campaign itself is very derivative, very boring.
Well,
But hi, Steven!
Hi, Steven. How you doing?
Hey!
It's good to have you here, Steven. We're right in the middle of some voicemail. Let's check out another one. This one is from Adam. Let's check it out.
Jason, Steven, Bill, what's up? This is Adam out here in the Bay Area, California. Been listening to your show, been trying to hook Jason up with some of the Mulberry old school titles on some of these shows. To say that the show is awesome, and it's ridiculous that you guys aren't getting more voicemails and emails and chatter on the forums. So I'm calling in to let you guys know you did a great job on 168. I know you're recording 169 tonight, so good luck with that. Have a
I like
great
that.
Show.
How
keep
do you
the good
that?
Stuff coming. And my mom doesn't want me to do these. The erotic cakes, so I gotta kind of do it on the sneaks. The show is ridiculous, and I love the fact that you guys make so much fun of it, because every time I see like the trailer, because my wife watches John and Kate Blissett all the time, and I always see the trailer for that show, and it just makes me crack up, because the way that you guys sit around and do the impersonations, and it's go downstairs, Mary. Me and my friend Ross say that at work all the time now. But anyway, have a good time. Good to talk to you.
Go downstairs, Mary. Go downstairs, Mary.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Adam. I was telling you, Bill, that whenever anyone's berating you, just keep saying that to them. Go downstairs, Mary. Just don't even let them talk.
I started doing that this week. You told me that today, and I was cracking up. So when I was doing something, and my dad called me, and I was like, go downstairs, Mary. What are you talking about? I am downstairs.
Go downstairs,
just,
Mary.
It's just, you say it and it confounds people and it's just hilarious.
Go downstairs, Mary. Who are you calling Mary over here? What are you talking about?
Go get your effing shine box.
That's good. I'm going to have to use that at work.
Shine box.
You need to.
Steve, that would be great if Steven needed some cable and he'd be like, go downstairs, Mary. And they're just looking like,
frickin'.
Is he losing his mind?
All right, we have another voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
This is a voicemail in regards to episode 167 of Nowhere Mulberry. I just wanted to say thanks, you guys rock. I'm glad you like my crappy videos. I'm glad I could entertain you for a couple of minutes after the hours. It's probably more like days of entertainment that you guys have given me. So thank you. In my last voicemail, I was going to say, if you guys ever come to Australia, or if I ever go visit America again, we should meet up and rah, 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 whatever. But I thought, nah, that seems kind of gay. But then you did a bill, so I don't seem like the needy one. So, yeah, bring it on, you needy bastard. I've been playing those drops. Shit, I am so sorry. I re-listened to that voicemail after I sent it, and I was very disappointed in myself. It sounded very retarded. Yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself, Rick. Me,
I guess. And here is some feedback on the enhanced feed. It does not work on my iPod Shuffle, which is my iPod of choice because it's the only one that fits in my earmuffs at work. But I did borrow my wife's Nano just so I could give you some feedback. And the feedback, it's good. Pretty poor feedback. Yeah, I did. I would download it instead of the other one if it came out at the same
time.
Appreciate
any kind.
But I'm not downloading it because I can't wait. I have no patience. And a recommendation, although everything I recommend or think about recommending, you've already seen it. But here it is anyway. It's an anime called Gantz. It's really good. It's like 23 episodes. I think you'd like it if you haven't
Gantz?
Seen it already. So check it out. Gantz. Let me know what you think. Pretty sexual in parts. There is a
nice
animated booby, which I have nothing against.
Animated
good
boobs
in any form.
Nice.
You know, I do like a good pair of boobies. Thanks again, guys.
Hey,
keep
who doesn't, right?
And if you don't, what you've done is good. So, good
thanks.
Work, I guess. So, thanks again. We'll catch you later.
All right, later,
this
Rick.
This is Rick again from Australia. It's a bit hard just talking to myself, even though I like it.
thanks, Rick. Oh, we always appreciate Rick's voice.
I like Rick's
voice
calls.
He's always great.
I'm
pretty sexual
always,
in parts.
Rick's voice.
Okay.
Number twos and number twos.
Now, Bill, we have one more voicemail. Let's check it out. This one from Noel.
Hello, Nowhere in Mulberry. It's Noel here from the Film Ramp Podcast. Hello to Jason. Hello to Bill.
Hello.
Hello to Stephen, if he decided to show up yet. just wanted to drop you a line after you mentioned a severe lack of voicemail and feedback last week.
Yes.
Now, I know, Jason, you said you weren't the needy type who needs reassurance, but hell, I'm going to say it anyway. For my money, best podcast on the net, seriously.
Nice.
I listen to a lot of podcasts,
thank
and I reckon we all have our favourites that, you know, every time you click on the old refresh button on iTunes, you hope to see the update, and for me, it's you guys without question. So just first off, just wanted to say, keep doing what you do, and, you know, don't ever change, man. You know, seriously, don't ever change. I love you just the way you are.
We won't.
Seriously, it's good to know in a world where the big news is sometimes a little bit silly, I have the hard-hitting issues of Nowhere in Mulberry to turn to, like what's going on in Cape Boise. So another thing before I end my NIM podcast cocksucking fest, Jason, a few weeks back you said it pissed you off when people said, I don't listen to that shit at the beginning, I just skip past to the talking. Well, I've got to admit that for a long time that guy was me. I've been a listener for quite a while and I always did that. So after that episode, just out of sheer guilt, the next time I listened, I listened in, and you know what? It's such a great part of the show. I feel like a bit of a shit muncher for having missed it in the past. Another point. I suppose
it's
the big
right.
news story of the day, not the violence in Iran or the continuing economic crisis or the swine flu epidemic, but the death of some skinny dude with one glove. Now, I won't dwell on it, but first of all, I don't know what all the shock is about. He looked pretty pale to me for quite a long time. and
may have been a vampire.
Joking aside, I think in a weird way, it's probably the best thing that could happen for his kids. I mean, maybe they'll get some sort of a normal life now. Who knows?
I never thought of it
like thing
that.
You also mentioned if there were any shows or listeners could recommend. Well, unfortunately, the UK is plagued with reality TV crap most of the time. But every now and again, we do come up with some great shit, and it's usually written by a dude called Paul Abbott. Now, he did the original TV series of State of Play, which was recently turned into a fairly mediocre thriller with Russell Crowe. But I picked up the original BBC series recently for like £4. which in the language of the brave translates to about $7. So if you ain't seen it, get your ass on Amazon. He also wrote a show called Shameless, which is set in my beautiful city of Manchester. So they all talk a bit like me and that. But the first couple of seasons, well worth seeing. And it also has James McAvoy in it, pretty much some of the first stuff he ever did. So in the words of Jay, check it out, it's awesome. Finally, Bill, I don't know if you were aware of this, but the Pizza Hut story from last week, the fuckers did the same thing in this country a few months back. They announced they were changing the name from Pizza Hut to, wait for it, Pasta Hut. They put adverts on TV, everything. All the old signs came down, all the new signs went up, and the media and the newspapers had a field day laughing at it, and a lot of people took the mick out of it, like, Pasta Hut, what the fuck is that? yeah, a few weeks later, Pizza Hut signs went back up, someone was probably fired, and no one ever mentioned it again. So, very odd.
Wow.
They did that here,
yeah,
too.
Anyway, I've rambled on for long enough. Just wanted to drop in and say hello, keep up the good work, have a great show. I'll be catching the podcast in the week, and take it easy. Laters.
Thanks, Noel. Man, we got some great voicemails this week, didn't we?
And Noel's right about Paul Abbott. He did some amazing shows like Coronation Street, Cracker, Shameless, Clocking Off. For a guy's only like 50 years old, and he's like the Brian Fuller of the UK.
Prolific TV guy.
Go downstairs, Mary.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, everybody, for all your voicemail. We appreciate it. We love it. And if you finish The Gunslinger before Thursday or by Thursday, send in some for your. We want to hear what you thought of the book and all that kind of stuff. So, what do you guys say we get into entertainment? What do you think, Steven?
Some entertainment.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
No. All right, let's see. Transformers 2 came out this week. Ugh. You know, I'm not expecting anything like Gone with the Wind or anything like that.
Nice little bubble. All I movie. Had to do was read Ebert's review, and I'm not going to go see it. I'll wait till it hits Blu-ray or something. I just, you know, the first one was like stupid fun, and from what I understand, this one's just absurd.
Right. Well, the main thing I keep hearing about, especially from Harry Knowles, Bill.
Oh, no.
It's about the racist jokes in the movie.
Oh, you know what?
There's two Ebonic-speaking robots called Skids and Mudflap.
Okay, so it's like Jar Jar.
I don't know. I haven't heard them or anything, but that's what I hear. So it makes me want to see it. I got to check this out.
Is it really any worse than any Wayans Brothers movie? I mean, why
I don't know.
People
well,
could be complaining about that shit, too.
I guess, what is this movie aimed at? Is it for kids, the whole family, or what? I think Michael
you know
Bay
what?
Just does whatever he wants.
It's for kids
to.
Because the humor that I've been reading about that's in it, like, they gave the Devastator two gigantic testicles, you know, wrecking balls, because Devastator is a bunch of construction equipment that come together.
So basically, it's for Michael Bay. He's just an immature
you know,
little
I hate
kid.
To admit it, but... One of the best bits I've ever seen about Michael Bay is on Robot Chicken, where it's all about Michael Bay explosions is the film. It's just Michael Bay directing explosions. And the ad is so funny because it's like, Michael Bay explosions! Michael Bay explosions! You know, it's absurd. Anybody look it up on YouTube. It's hilarious. It's exactly what... The guy has
I mean,
become.
I have no doubt that the action and stuff will be cool with the robots fighting and all that, but there's so much that annoys me about his slow-mo and stuff that I know it just grate on my nerves. Like, for instance, Transformers, I have it on HD DVD, and it's almost like in this day and age, you can buy any movie that's crappy because you know it's going to have a kick-ass sound mix. It's gonna, you know, or cool visual pop, you know, which Transformers had cool sound, low bass part. Remember that Transformers going over the lady's head and she's going, ah! It's like, woom, like the whole house
is right. That shot's in every Michael Bay movie, whether it's a Transformer or it's a jet or, you know.
Right. I mean, it's cool, but the movie just annoys the living shit out of me at the same time. Yeah. So it's like a trade off. And, you know, Is Megan Fox really that hot? I mean, seriously.
I have to admit that I see her at times and she can look amazing. Like,
I'm just talking about when she talks, you know.
No, she's an idiot. She should really keep her mouth shut, because every interview I've ever read of her is like, oh, I'm a tranny. I look like Alan Alda. Oh, you know, it's just she always says something. About? Yeah, she thinks that she's witty and funny, and she's really just an airhead. Well, there's nothing
have you ever
going
heard
on there.
Pamela Anderson, she never stops, like, saying little jokes. Like, she thinks she's witty, but she's not. You just want her to shut the hell up.
So is that other
Mary.
The other blonde is with Jim Carrey now. What's her
name?
Oh,
my God. Jenny McCarthy is, like, the perfect confluation of hot and stupid. She was on Larry King one night talking about autism, and I just wanted to strangle her but have sex with her at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Is that too much?
I don't know.
I understand, Bill.
She was on, I think it's called a hate F.
But that's like Megan Fox. I mean, yeah, she's attractive and everything, but at the same time, is there really anything there? I don't know. But
no,
you know,
there isn't.
I guess if you're a guy,
hot.
You're not
that's
supposed to care,
is.
But
she's
it really,
hot.
Yeah, she's
and
hot.
Then she's got all them weird, goofy tattoos.
I don't know what my deal is,
oh
but when
God,
I see a
that
movie.
That tattoo of Marilyn Monroe on her arm.
It's all stretched out on her arm. Yeah, it doesn't look good.
One of the ugliest, worst looking tattoos I've ever seen.
I see in the trailer to Transformers, she's up on a motorcycle and she's got her leg up and she's got her cutoffs or whatever.
Her ass in the air.
At what point, I don't know. Hey, I'm not a woman or whatever, but I'd just be like, I'd tell Michael Bay to go F himself. That's just stupid. Like, you're
well,
just
typical.
I mean, but I guess you're just eye candy for teenage boys in that movie or something. Whatever.
You know what,
like, hey, she's got a friggin' job.
It.
She's making a bunch of money off her look. She better do it now because she won't be acting in the future.
Yeah, it shouldn't be enough, though. I mean, you should demand more to your part. She should flesh out her role better. Yeah, I don't
know
what I'm
talking about. Demand acting.
Now, hey, did you guys watch the trailer to Zombieland?
Honestly, I think it looks stupid. I love Shaun of the Dead. I love everything about it. And that movie gets made, and then all of a sudden, everybody has an idea for a zombie movie. And this is just another one of those ones. It's like, hey, I have a really good idea for a zombie movie. Let's put the Zack Snyder's Fast Zombies in, and let's make it funny with Woody Harrelson as like a gun-toting redneck, and let's put the neurotic kid in it.
One moment in the trailer that cracked me up was him. He said, can we call that Zombie Kill of the Day? After he, or whatever. But who made this film?
Let me look on IMDb real quick.
So I wasn't sure who it was. I don't know. It's
I'm
a comedy zombie movie. Yeah. I don't know.
Like the last shot of the trailer is them running away in a theme park. And then it's like right out of Final Destination whenever that sign comes and whacks that kid. It's like this amusement park ride comes down and hits a zombie, but you don't see it. It just...
It's hard to tell
about
from
it
the
just
trailer.
Rubbed me the wrong way.
One thing is when I look at a trailer, sometimes I can tell that it's more of the guy who cut the trailer than anything. Like, oh, we're going to make this look wacky. Like, remember you and I were talking about The Road, the Cormac McCarthy book.
Oh, jeez.
The trailer, whoever cut the trailer, I don't know who dictates what the trailer is supposed to be, but I saw someone go, you know what? Make this look like I Am Legend. So if you look at the trailer to The Road, they cut it like it's an action movie, almost like The Day After Tomorrow. Was that what that was called? The Roland Emmerich movie?
They open it with all that like apocalyptic news footage, like it's the beginning of Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Right, and that's not what it is at all. But I guarantee you the movie isn't like that. You can tell that they cut it a certain way. And I don't know about the Zombieland. It could be wacky and goofy like that or whatever. But part of me almost wonders, like, they were like, let's make it zany or something like that. I don't know. I can't tell. But.
Okay. Zombieland was directed by Ruben Fleischer and written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. I've never heard of any of them.
Who the hell are those guys?
It looks like Ruben Fleischer was a director on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, dear.
He was assistant director on Borat.
Yes. Okay. Everyone's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Isn't Borat all handheld? I mean,
yeah,
I guess
really,
you direct
much,
the bits
yeah.
or something like that. Okay, well, we'll find out more on Zombieland later, but yeah.
Oh, and the guys that that wrote it have some huge credits. They wrote Tarzan 2.
What the hell
and,
is
with the Joe Schmo Show.
Oh.
Cruel Intentions 3.
Nice.
My personal favorite.
Sounds like
Clifford's
a career we
really
would have in Hollywood. It sounds like our career in Hollywood, what it would be like. We just... Cruel Intentions 4 is what we're working on.
It's great because it's got more lesbians.
At one point, I was like, you know what? I'd like to be a bad screenwriter, like write Skinamax movies, you know? It's like, hey, I can write these. It's always like a murder mystery
always,
or something. It's so stupid.
Porn without the sex.
Yeah,
let's see
porn
how
without the sex.
Absurd we can get this.
Right.
And let's work softcore porn into it.
Yes. Yeah,
that always makes things better.
Awesome. So what do you guys say we check out what's on our TiVos? Now, I know we were talking about a lot of people died this week. Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, Steven, mm-hmm. very sad, Michael Jackson.
There was a music guy that died, too, and I'm so sorry that I can't remember his name. Not that it really matters.
Jacko, but, dropped dead.
I remember wearing the Farrah Fawcett t-shirt, the little one-piece red bit, and I had to turn it inside out. It was too sexy.
Oh. Well,
poor
school?
Farrah Fawcett.
At
know,
school,
what a way
yeah.
to go with that anal cancer. I mean, that's like...
Yikes. Yeah.
That has to be painful.
Definitely. Just miserable. But you know what? Forget all of that, Farrah Fawcett.
Oh.
It's nothing compared to what Perez Hilton has gone through.
Oh, I know. I was so upset at this. It's so tragic.
I thought some guy named William punched him, but that's not his name. It's Will I Am is the guy
yeah.
who punched him. Will I Am.
Black Eyed Peas.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah, quite possibly one of the worst bands ever.
I don't know. Fergie's supposed to be hot to me. She looks
she's
like a dude to me.
She's a two-face.
She
looks like almost like you would see her walking on the street, you know, at night on Hollywood Boulevard because she just...
Okay, what happened to Perez Hilton? He was asking them questions, the Black Eyed Peas, and Will I Am punched him? Is that what happened? I don't know.
I guess because Perez Hilton runs that annoying website.
Right.
He always, like, puts drool and penises and stuff on people's faces and
good lord.
I guess that Will I'm you know what, I'm not gonna call him Will I Am, no. That guy,
just call him Will.
Yeah, Will.
You should go by Bill I Am. I think that'd be awesome.
I can't do that. That's
yeah, it's already been done anyway, so.
Yeah, so I guess he didn't like what Perez was doing with his website and Fergie has had problems with him in the past. So he, like, went up to him and was like, hey, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. You know, it's not right. And Perez came back with, you know, he said, I called him the one thing that I knew he wouldn't like, a faggot. And I was like, oh. So isn't that kind of like pot calling a kettle black?
What is he doing calling anyone that?
I know. He's gay. Isn't he supposed to be for, like, gay rights? Does he know what he says when he says gay?
That's a hurtful word.
That is a very hurtful word. It could mean cigarette, and it's just very hurtful. I guess maybe he's not a smoker. But, yeah, so the...
It's insulting.
Will I Am was gonna... I don't know. They got into kind of a tussle, and then Will I Am's manager punched him in the face, which was... very satisfying, and
it's so
funny because all these celebrities that are supposed to be his friends are now coming out on Twitter and saying, like, good for him, he deserved it,
nice.
It's a long time coming, you know, stuff like that. So it's like he's on this downfall, and to make matters worse, he made a comment on Michael Jackson's death about how he probably wasn't dead, it was just a stunt. He pulled the same thing a couple years ago when he was supposed to do some concerts. And, you know, everybody's calling him insensitive and people are pissed off at him.
Well, I have a,
which is funny.
I have a clip here of Perez, Bill, where he's very upset. He reminds
this
me
is
of a,
almost as bad as the
Britney
leave
guy.
Britney alone.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Chris Crocker.
Chris Crocker?
Right.
Yeah.
This is that kind of thing. And I believe Perez Hilton even made fun of that guy. He made like a follow-up Chris Crocker video that was supposed to be funny, and it wasn't at all. It was just kind of pathetic. Is there anything worse than, say, like Chocolate Rain comes out, and then some guy's like, oh, I'm going to spoof Chocolate Rain. And he does, and it's the most horrible thing you've ever seen.
The only funny Chocolate Rain spoof was the Chad Vader singing Chocolate Rain.
Right. All right, let's check this out. Perez Hilton is upset. Let's check it out.
Violence is never the answer.
I hit you, Perez.
And where I am for lying. Shame on you. God is looking down on you and shaming you.
Come on, dude. I didn't hit you.
And I'm bleeding. I think my eye might be falling out of my head.
Perez took to Twitter posting his message. I was assaulted by Will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas.
Will.i.am. Green eggs in hand.
All respect for all of you and the Black Eyed Peas.
I will not eat them on a train. I will not eat them on a plane.
What the hell is that? God is looking down and shaming you. I don't think it works like that.
God is a big fan of the shaming.
God is looking down on you and shaming you.
I don't know about anybody else, but say if you are a man of God or you believe in God, aren't you disturbed by all these idiot people on television?
Yes.
Who God is this genie in a lamp or something?
There's nothing worse than some artist winning an award and then going, first and foremost, I want to thank God. It's like, yeah, God had something to do with you there.
Yeah, they all do that. It's...
Violence,
it's irritating.
God likes my music better than yours.
The only person who thinks violence isn't the answer is the one getting punched in the face. Seriously.
Exactly.
And what was he talking about? His eyes hanging out of his head? He looked fine in that video.
Yeah, he had a little cut above his eye. Like a tiny little cut from, like, you know, whenever you punch, well, whenever you get punched, the skin kind of gets stretched. And it was the tiniest little slit above his eye. It probably bled like 5 drops of blood.
Yes! Oh, yes! Yes! Oh!
Good Lord, man.
Wow.
That's kind of scary.
I Go guess maybe if you like Mary. Blood.
All right, guys. Who won I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? Let's check it out. And this is kind of one of those things that happens every once in a while where... It's happened on Celebrity Apprentice where they announce the winner and then they realize there's too much time left. Listen to the guy. He's like, whoever wins, I don't want to give it away, guys. It's very it's surprising here. It's actually not at all. But he keeps saying it over and over again because they got nothing else to do.
And I can honestly tell you two.
It came down to Lou and Tori, right?
Close. Incredibly close. Lou. Tori. The winner of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here 2009 is Lou Diamond Phillips. Lou.
All right.
The only celebrity among you.
Yeah.
Lou Diamond Phillips is the king of the jungle. Congratulations.
Okay, Lou Diamond Phillips, he won.
Yeah. Lou, come and take your crown. Quick.
Lou, get over here.
Come on,
brother.
All right. People are just.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
King of the jungle.
Promise
Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here 2009. Come on over here. Come on.
He already said that.
Congratulations, you guys. Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes, Lou.
God is looking down on you and shaming you.
Oh, my God. I didn't know he was so upset about that show.
He did a lot of things to win that.
Oh, you shamed yourself, Chavez-y Chavez.
The spirit horse has not come. Will never come.
Spirit horse will not come for you, my friend.
I have lost all respect for all of you.
Oh, poor guy.
You have all the carrots in the world.
Oh, oh.
All right, I have this clip of Conan. Mainly because Conan does a Jay Leno impression and it's pretty good. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
He's talking to this guy. You know, he goes to people's house or whatever. He does little bits or whatever. And some guy called the guy's cell phone. He's like, hey, can I get on the cell phone and talk to your friend? And that's what happened. And the audio's kind of weird here and echoey. I don't know.
Well, next time it rings, I'll say hello.
Very good.
I like to talk
like
to
somebody
people.
Hit the music hall DSP mode on my receiver.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it sounds like they're
that's
taking the audio
this
from
is,
the room.
Friend of Casey's. I'm Conan O'Brien. I'm taking over the Tonight Show. This guy's swearing up a storm. You're mad at Jay Leno because he rides British bikes and he bought up all the parts for British bikes? You know what? Jay's here right now. I'm going to put Jay on and he's going to apologize. Hold on one sec. Here he is. Cool. Oh, what's his name? What's his name? Huh? Well, what are you doing? Just because I bought some parts for British bikes, you mad at me all of a sudden? I'm
going to
take it over to your place and I'm going to roll over all your bikes.
Good
time. I'm going to hand the phone back to Conan, who, by the way, he's a really funny guy. He's the funniest guy ever.
You know, I've been watching Conan every night except for Fridays, and last Friday he had Triumph on and I missed it. I'm sure it was all over.
Yeah, Triumph went to the Bonnaroo Music Festival in Tennessee. It was typical...
Making fun of people.
Yeah, I mean, there were some really classic. There was one girl that was, she was scary ugly. I mean, her mouth was enormous. She just looked off. And he said, so what did you do to get here? Did you sell your entire meth lab? And it was just so wrong and so funny. It's good.
Now, Bill, I want to ask you, what the hell is this show called The Superstars on ABC?
I saw that. It's like they took a Battle of the Network Stars, and instead of network stars, they just hired anybody that would be willing to come on it, like sports people, models.
Right.
I only watched like 5 minutes of it, and I had to change it.
Well, this clip, it's Terrell Owens, who everyone knows who T.O. is from the NFL. And it's got this, what is her name, Joanna Krupa, and she's hot, but she's T.O.'s teammate, and she seems to be emasculating him.
Yeah.
He did something to get his foot caught, and they lost this stupid race that they're at, and just listen.
There was like a rope bridge that they had to cross, and he got his foot caught in the very first rung.
And she would not
forgive
him. And he
was like upside down trying to get his foot out of it for a couple minutes.
And she just basically castrates him verbally. Let's check it out.
Yes.
What a great race. They're dead even.
Oh, way to sell it, announcer guy.
T.O. has his foot caught in the cargo net. David and Jennifer advance, while T.O. and Joanna must go to the sudden death race.
It's the helicopter guy from Jesse James.
I don't want a teammate like that. I'm so an athlete. What does he get $1 million for?
Hey, Joe, let's go.
No, T.O., not no, let's go. You're the one that f***ed up. We could have won. Just shut up. Just shut up.
Come on. Good job. Congratulations,
guys.
Great job, Tio.
What? I'm so pissed. I am not standing there. Unbelievable. I'm so nasty. I have nothing to say to anybody.
Whoa,
I'll be a prima donna like you've been. So cocky. For what? You got in the NFL?
I really feel bad for her boyfriend. I really feel bad for him.
So suddenly, the chase turns all too real.
Yeah.
So she's a poor sport.
Yes, poor sport.
Yeah.
So that's
Tio kind of has the right thing. It's
like,
hey,
she just really wanted to win.
You know, there
because, you know, that's going to be huge for her to career.
Yeah, I guess. What the hell do you win?
I won Superstars on ABC. Don't you know who I am?
It's like, what the hell is that? Superstars.
I'm the one who threw a fit. Oh, you're the bitch.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of happy. I don't want to shock you guys. This is going to sound shocking, Steven. I don't want to upset you. I'm kind of happy Michael Jackson died. And I'll tell you why. Because everyone shut the hell up about John and Kate plus 8 getting a divorce, right?
You know what? You're right. All this death has really, you know.
So thank you, Jacko. Let's check this out. It's very upsetting.
Kate and I have decided to separate.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Shocker. Very surprising.
have decided.
Surprised they waited this long.
That we will separate.
I try to contemplate and think about it and would it be better for us. It's just not good for our kids, for us to be arguing in front of our kids.
You're right.
And just,
right,
we can't be cordial with one another, then we decide to separate.
I'm not really
How is that any different
idea,
than every season of this show?
Yeah.
But I know it's necessary because my goal is peace for the kids. The label that we failed.
Maybe she should take them off television.
I agree.
How will be another statistic?
That's okay.
But I do have feelings as well, and I'm hurt by all of this, but, you know, I'm excited and hurt at the same time. It's going to be different.
What?
I think it also shows that we're here for our kids.
I'm free,
you bitch!
We can't
go back now. We can only go forward. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, wait, what?
I can date. You have 8 children to watch.
Yeah. She's
good
like,
luck trying to find a guy with that loose, you know, thing.
Kate is like, she's like, I'm really upset. But what John says...
I'm hurt by all of this, but, you know, I'm excited and hurt at the same time.
I'm excited and hurt at the same time. Because I had to move the hell out of the house with this bitch.
If I was him, I would throw, like, a parade as left. Like, goodbye! I'm off to... He's already been seen looking at it at luxury apartment in Trump Tower. You know, this guy is... He'll probably end up being, like, the New York socialite playboy that goes everywhere and does every girl.
Hey, goodbye, Dutch!
Exactly. I mean, I've watched maybe a few minutes of the show at a time, but it doesn't look like an act that they hate each other. They just have
a
job
hate each other.
Taking care of a bunch of kids. And really, you're not free because you got so many kids. You're going to see each other all the time. But at least he gets to sleep somewhere else, I guess, is the...
I think they should just stop doing the show because at this point, those kids growing up in front of the camera are going to have this bizarre sense of entitlement.
Right.
And that just can't be good.
I guess the only reason to stay on there is because that many kids, you need all the income you can get from it.
Yeah, but how much do they really get paid? I think
I don't know.
The majority of the money comes from all those books and stuff that the wife does.
Oh, you're
so
right.
So John's kind of shit out of luck.
That's just like going, how is he going to afford Trump Towers?
He's going to have to write a book about how he survived being beaten down every day by
surviving
that
the bitch.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Exactly.
How to Survive Your Bitch Wife by John Gosling.
Now, before we go to take a break, Bill, I wanted to mention that on Fox tonight, they aired Virtuality. Not Virtuosity with Russell Crowe and Denzel, but Virtuality.
Oh, damn. I thought maybe they were showing a new cut or something.
I found out that this was airing tonight on accident by looking online because I did not see that Fox has aired any kind of commercial telling you. Do you even know what it is, Steven?
No.
It's a show created by Ronald D. Moore, did Battlestar Galactica, and it's a sci-fi show. It sounds pretty cool, right?
Okay.
You'd never know because Fox is airing it tonight and no one knows about it. It's this two-hour premiere, or it's two-hour pilot is what I meant to say, directed by Peter Berg.
Holy wow.
And no one knows about the damn thing, and I recorded it, and here's another thing. It's got nothing but good reviews that I've read about it. Like, people saying, wow, this looks really promising. Too bad Fox has totally effed it. You know, it doesn't look like anyone's interested. Or it doesn't look like Fox has any interest in making this into a series. Maybe it'd be too costly
or something.
Because
it's too expensive, yeah.
What? Don't take your shows to Fox, for Christ's sakes. Unless they're interested in giving us a show. Hey, 3 episodes on the air, guys, we'd be doing pretty good, right? It'd get canceled, but still.
Well, we'd film 13, that show 10.
Yeah, but Ronald D. Moore, that's what sucks. Okay, Ronald D. Moore, awesome run of Battlestar Galactica. Do you do a friggin' pilot for Fox next, and then you get your pilot aired, and then that's it? Why did you go to Fox? That's what I want to know.
So, how come you didn't just do it at Sci-Fi?
I don't know.
I mean,
he's
probably tired of
Sci-Fi.
I don't know. But anyway, everybody, if you have a chance to check it out, I'm sure it'll be on Hulu. It's called Virtuality with Russell Crowe and Denzel. I mean, God, I got to say the title confuses me, Bill.
Yeah, does it? It looked like they were in a spaceship, but does it involve virtual reality?
Yes, it sounds pretty intricate. It's this people who live vicariously through virtual reality while they're in this long space voyage, apparently.
Oh. Okay, so that's way too confusing for anybody that watches Fox.
And at the same time, Bill, they are a reality show on Earth because they have cameras watching everything they do. So people on Earth are watching them, and that's driving them nuts too. It sounds
wow,
pretty
that
crazy.
Sounds pretty deep.
Pretty sexual in parts.
Yeah, maybe, Rick.
I'll watch it.
Well, what do you guys say? Let's take a break and we'll be right back. And you know what we're going to talk about, don't you? We're going to talk about the cake boss.
The
hey,
cake boss.
He's making a zombie cake. Let's check it out.
Boring conversation anyway.
I can fix our heartburn with Hank.
Not Alka-Seltzer.
This is advanced formula Alka-Seltzer with less sodium, and you can take it with just a little water.
Oh, it tastes great, but it's not Alka-Seltzer.
It is.
Are you two taking Alka-Seltzer?
Oh, no. Alka-Seltzer.
Advanced formula Alka-Seltzer.
Five different meats piled on two medium pizzas. For some, it's a dream. For others, their worst nightmare. Little Caesar's new Meatza Meatza Pizza Pizza. Five different meat toppings. All for $9.99 at Little Caesar's.
Meatza Meatza.
It certainly is a big bun.
It's a very big bun.
Big fluffy bun.
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
Some hamburger places give you a lot less beef on a lot of bun.
Where's the beef?
At Wendy's, we serve a hamburger we modestly call a single. And Wendy's single has more beef than the Whopper or Big Mac. At Wendy's, you get more beef and less bun.
Hey, where's the beef?
I don't think there's anybody back there.
You want something better. You're Wendy's kind of people.
A stick of juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move ya. Take a sniff, pull it out. The taste is gonna move ya when you pop it in your mouth. Juicy fruit is gonna move ya. It chews us all, it gets right to ya. Juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move ya.
Doctor, my belly aches.
You got butterflies in your stomach.
You got a Charlie horse.
Operation.
A broken heart, of course.
Operation!
The whitest crime is true!
Operation!
And I'm the Dr.
Paul! Operation! Remove the pieces and collect your fee, but don't touch the sides!
Water on the knee!
Operation!
How's another fee?
Operation!
A fair rib or two!
Operation!
I'm the Dr. Paul!
Next, please!
Operation! From Milton Bradley!
Fire, fire, hot fire! You gotta win it in the fire!
Gets incredibly hot, and you've got to win it in the crossfire.
I am the Burger King.
I love this place!
Dinner. It's a whole new thing, and it's happening at Burger King. Yeah, come in. I ordered the dinner basket thing. I want the dinner basket with the chicken.
Oh,
I go and get my own drink. Come here. I'll give you popcorn just to chill with.
I got the popcorn.
Mmm. Right now, it's time for table service.
I am excited.
Burger King, dinner basket, table service. $30 working up the appetite outside of beef cake. I'm thinking about the chicken or the shrimp, the steak or the Whopper, baked potato or the fries, slaw or the salad.
You decide.
Chicken, steak, Whopper, shrimp. So then they bring your food out from 4 to 8, and they wait on you.
All right, what do you think about the full concept, man?
Table service. They bring it right out to you.
Yep. Very good. And he's dipping it, and it's good, isn't it? It's your way, right away.
I love this place.
Flicks. We got it. They don't.
I love this place. It's the new Flame Broiled Meatloaf Sandwich. What's up with that? A Flame Broiled Meatloaf Patty with onions and ketchup. Period. Paragraph. End of story.
I love this place.
Mr. Bucket.
That's right. I'm Mr. Bucket. I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top. I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth I will pop. I'm Mr. Bucket. Walk and run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth. I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about. I'm Mr. Bucket.
Whee!
We're all going to run. I'm Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket from Milton Bradley.
Bucket.
Lights bright, lights bright. Turn on the magic of colored lights.
Just pop in the colored pegs and follow the patterns. It's easy to make your favorite pictures and characters, or you can always create your own light pictures.
Light bright, turn on the magic of shining lights.
Light bright from Milton Bradley.
His feet got the beat, he's cool and he's neat. It's Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Dancing on air, this doll can't compare. It's Michael. Now we call thriller, it's no fright. Then there's Billie Jean and Vita looking just right. And three of the outfits, they're all out of sight. Looks so much like Michael from head to toe. Put the mic in his hand and he'll steal the show.
I love you, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson doll, new from LJ.
Pogo ball is what they call it when you're hopping and bopping everywhere. Pogo ball is what they call it when you're rocking and rolling in the air.
Again, we two compete. You're the one I have to beat. One of us must face defeat.
Victory would be so sweet.
Simon, you're the challenge of a lifetime.
Thank you, Simon.
Simon from Milton Bradley.
So, Bill, can I put my pogo ball in Mr. Bucket?
Yeah, I guess. The ball might come out of his mouth, though.
Sure.
Don't get your balls cut with your pogo's mouth.
Shame on you.
Oh, my God. Sorry, Perez. I didn't know what to... How did we offend you exactly?
God is looking down on you and
I think he got his balls cut in Mr. Pogo's mouth.
Don't you shame yourself?
Mr. Bucket's mouth. He's the original Mr. Bucket.
Hey, Perez, there's a little game. It's called Mr. Bucket. You ever heard of him?
Let me put my balls in your top.
I have lost all respect for all of you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Perez. Hey, I wanted to say that I just had to mention this, that Bill, it's really made it hard to work on the show is my wife for Father's Day got me an iPod Touch. Now, I don't have an iPhone. But, you know, it's one of those things that just looks really cool. There's some people I know that have them, and it's just like, hey, can I want to check that. And then they're just like, you know, they won't let you hold it or anything. So
yeah.
It was neat when I got the iPod Touch.
Basically, the pricks.
So basically, me, my wife, and my daughter all fight over it. We're like, no, let me hold it next. And we're all like touching it, sliding our fingers on it, like doing all this stuff. I'm always in the app store looking at new cool apps and games. It's addictive. And it's really cool. And the coolest thing about it, Bill, is now I can see how our enhanced show works on an iPod. And it's awesome. Yeah. Totally cool. And now I know what kind of photos to do where they'll look clear on it. You know, I've done some that have turned out blurry or whatever. I know the right size
now
to do
now. Now you know what to do.
Yeah, and it's really cool, and I got to thank my wife for that. It's the coolest toy I've ever had. You know, you can watch... Yeah,
it is cool.
You can play games, watch movies, listen to music. And not only that, is I've always had on my receiver, it's got an iPod input, and I've never used it before. Yesterday, I plugged it in. I can control it with my receiver remote.
Nice.
It's awesome. Nice. Awesome toy, yo! And it has Wi-Fi on it, so I can just, you know, I can chat with Bill in every room now, and my wife loves that, you know? Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm sure she does.
Chatting with Bill over here. Wait, before we get to Cake Boss, I wanted to cover this show that we haven't really covered before. Maybe we did the Real Housewives of New York. This is the Real Housewives of New Jersey, all right? And the reason is because they live in the same area as the Cake Boss, right?
Oh, they do?
But in this scene here, this clip, it's one of the follow-up shows they do where, hey, we're going to do a show where we talk about all the stuff we saw this season and you guys make up like anybody cares. This is a clip where a lady, she's like, you know what you did, Steven. I'm not going to tell you what you did because you already know. It's like a, you know, Kafka. Ugh. That's what I've had dreams like this, Kafka-esque, where you're being put on trial and you don't know what you did, but they won't tell you.
You know what you did, but I'm not going to tell you what you did, but you know what you did.
And the lady's sitting there taking this beating by this lady, and they never say what the hell she did because she already knows what she did. Let's check it out. I'm confused, but Franz Kafka wrote this scene.
What you did.
I cut it out.
It's so disgraceful, and you know what you did, and you could sit there and you could make believe that you are just so forgiving, and gee, I'm sorry, and tie it up into a bow. I am not buying it. And you know what you did. I will not bring it up because she asked me not to, and I love her, and I won't do that to her. I love my family.
What?
And I will protect them with everything I have. But what you did, you are garbage.
What'd she do?
And you are disgraceful. And I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't sit here. I can't.
What did she do, though?
I will never forgive her, and you will never be a friend of mine.
Well, Bill did the same thing.
I don't care. You tried.
I know.
Well, what she did.
Maybe you're a much better person than me.
I know who you are, and I saw what you did.
Well, let me tell you something.
I got photos, Bill.
And we all know what it is. We all know what it is.
What is it?
You still have no idea what this is.
No, I really don't.
He's like, I don't know what she's talking about. It's kind of, have you ever done this where somebody says something and you go, what? And they go, you heard me? And I go, no, I didn't. No, yeah, you did. No, I can honestly tell you, I have no idea what you just said. Yeah, you did. I'm just like, I'll kill you.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Exactly.
And you say, go downstairs, Mary.
Exactly, Steven.
Go downstairs, Mary.
Yes. Thank you, Adam. Now, on Cake Boss, before we get to the main entertaining part, you would think that the idea of the Cake Boss making a zombie cake would somehow be entertaining. And I just have, Bill, I asked you this question earlier. Does the Cake Boss buddy go with every first idea he has? Because he rarely does. Do you like how they show the CGI graphic of the cake he's making?
What the hell is that? It's like, we're watching, like, how it's made or something.
It's like, first, I'm going to make the friggin' cake part. It's
I'm going to make the friggin' cake part.
Then we're going to lay down some chocolate, then roll the fondant over. Okay, yeah, that's what you say.
We're going to dirty ice it, because when you dirty ice, it helps the fondant stick.
But you know what was funny, though, is this is for a zombie walk, where these people, they dress up like zombies. And they have fun. They walk down the street, and it's scary. And then they have a ball, like a dead, undead ball. And then they're going
to
eat the zombie cake.
We need to have the Mulberry zombie dance.
Definitely.
No, you know what? We don't. This is so stupid.
And one thing,
you know,
Bill.
I can understand being a fan of zombies, but being a zombie?
No, you want to shoot zombies.
Yeah, exactly.
Or run
Why
from
would
them.
You ever want to be the
And some
the
of these
undead?
Some of these zombies had bullet holes in their head, and I'm like, "Hello, you wouldn't be moving around if you had a bullet hole in your head. You people
stupid,
suck.
Stupid dumb
stupid ass zombies."
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to walk around like an idiot through town square so people can go, "Oh, look at them." It's like it's all for attention, and it's just ridiculous.
And he's
Soft
like,
walk.
Buddy's like, I'm a little out of my element here with this. I'm used to doing other stuff like wedding showers, and I got to do this. So anyway, besides that, that was just stupid. And the cake looked like Frankenstein crawling out of a grave with just them throwing a bunch of blood-looking crap all over it. It was just
way too much. Let's put a bunch of body parts like ears and
it's like, why did he explode or something?
So he has, like, a zombie buffet. And it's like, did you forget that they eat brains, not ears?
You know, there's the one kind of cute, kind of scary blonde chick who works there. You know, I'm like, I don't know, maybe. You know, but she's like, why don't we make a gigantic brain and then all the zombies eat the big brain? And he goes, oh, no, I don't think that's a very good idea. And I was like, hey, that's a pretty funny idea.
Yeah,
like
that's
all the zombies,
an excellent idea.
They all attack
a
giant brain.
A better idea than a bunch of body parts.
Yeah, well, what it is a zombie, like, coming out of a grave. He's like, what do you would you say, like chest high, torso, with his hands coming out?
He's pulling himself out of a grave with a very original tombstone that has rest in or RIP on it.
Yeah, very original there, buddy. You know what would have been funny if you would have wrote buddy on it or something?
Yeah, it's the anonymous zombie.
Or he could have written like Jacko on it or Michael Jackson or something.
That would have been funny.
Oh, that's offensive.
Well, you know, Michael Jackson was pretty much a zombie anyways.
Wow.
His parts of his face were falling off.
I have lost all respect for all of you.
Oh, God. Who asked you, all right? God.
Who is that? What's your
operating
number?
In the chat room. It's a monument to the unknown zombie.
Yeah. So, anyway, they have these other chicks who are doing a bachelor party, Bill. And,
Oh, bachelor party!
Is it just me?
Now that's my speed.
This is how staged the show is.
I love men.
This is how staged the show is. They sit down and they're going to do. We want a cake for like a bachelor party, buddy. And he's like, "Well,
we
you want
a hot cake?"
Yeah, and he comes up with the ideas. Bill, have you noticed that? He's like, "How about some guys, naked guys in g-strings
that's
or something?"
He's a big fagula.
What is he talking about? They didn't even ask for that.
How about we have a bunch of naked dancing guys with gigantic schwanzes?
Does your cake have balls?
I got an idea for a cake.
Schwanz?
How about a giant schwanz over here? Baked
I'm just
covered in chocolate.
A big penis cake.
It's like, we just want one testicle to eat. What are you talking about? Get the hell out of here.
I am married. Lost a testicle to cancer.
And you know what you did.
No, what? What did I do?
And you know what you did.
No, I don't.
You talked about testicles.
So he decides he's going to make, okay, Bill, here's what he's going to do. He's going to lay down the angel's food cake. He's going to put some chocolate down, then he's going to roll some fondant over it.
Some pound cake. Oh!
He's got a pound cake, some icing, and then roll the fondant over it. And he's got a box. Then he's got stripper poles, and all these nude, edible men with penises are going to be sticking out, and they're going to have removable G-strings and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like,
because he wants a little something underneath.
So remember what he says immediately, Bill. Mama can't know about this. She no like the eroticism. She no like it.
She no like it because she don't want to go to hell.
Right. She will burn in hell if God knows that she had a edible penis.
God is looking down
God
on them and shaming them.
God is looking down on you and shaming you.
Exactly.
It's like, wait a second. Mama does like eroticism. Think about the sausages and the meatball and the spaghetti.
What?
Huh? Wait. Oh, okay.
So wait. Okay. Here's how bad the show is, though. With the stagey part, he's like, "Don't let Mama see you guys working on these intricate dolls. That there's no way you could hide him if she comes in." He's like, "Hide him if she comes in here." They got shit laid out everywhere. They got these dolls. There's nowhere. What are they gonna do? Throw a blanket over it if she walks in?
Throw a blanket over her.
I also love that they make a big deal that they have a gay guy in their bakery, and he's like, "Tone. You're gay. You make one. I want to see a naked guy for you, Tone.
Tone.
It's like, everybody's got to have two names.
So here it is. They're interviewing one of the ladies who's doing the little guy. And it's so funny. She comes in the background, like in the interview, and the camera pans over. And it's Mama. Oh, no. Let's hear what she has to say. And by the way, I'm pretty sure the Hell's Kitchen music is in this.
It is. In the second part of it, after she gives her little... bitch out. It is.
It's totally Hell's Kitchen.
I'm scared of Mama right now because she's going to freak out and then she's probably going to like look at us funny like, why are you making
me sorry? What did I say?
Uh-oh.
What did I say? That is not acceptable at Carlo's Bakery. Okay? I don't care whose order you got. Buddy's not the boss. He may be the cake boss, but he ain't the boss.
All right, but that
is not acceptable. No
right.
way in
Who
my
runs
place.
That place.
That yeah. is not going to be shown.
I was waiting for her to say, Carlos, we're rolling in his grave.
It's not going to be shown. No
oh,
way
my
you're on. Out. It's not going to happen because I'll come there and I'll break it myself.
I told him that those cakes are not allowed in this place. Erotic, exotic, whatever you call them. No way, no how.
Wow. So she's like, I'm going to have a word with Buddy. And they're all coming back from lunch or something. Like, yay. And she, like, comes down there. It's like, what did I tell you? And they all freeze.
Yeah, who signs your paycheck at the end of the week?
And they're like, you do. And she goes, exactly. Oh, my God, that lady's voice.
Erotic, exotic, whatever you call them.
Yikes.
I think she needs a little erotic exotic.
But she's about to keep going with her little act there. And he goes, what if we just cover them up? She's like, okay, that'd be nice. Yeah, okay,
the
do that.
The muscles are fine. Yeah, I just don't want to see none of that, you know.
And it's the guy sticks one in the fridge with a giant penis sticking out.
Yeah, that's
and
she the goes, gay guy's one. He makes the one with the largest
She goes
penis.
Walking over there and she opens and goes, wah! Like, sees his thing.
And she's laughing her ass off.
He ain't the boss, but he ain't the boss.
Oh, my God. Who run the Butter Cake Boss town, huh? Mama,
oh my
Blaster?
God. Mama Blaster?
Mama Blaster.
I really reach her with that one.
Buddy's Blaster.
What did I say?
Wow.
He's just the child.
And you know what you did.
No, I don't, but so
penis cake, how dare you?
He shows these women this stripper cake, and they're like, ah, whatever. Then, you know, he takes the zombie cake to all the zombies, and I don't know. The show
they
is
just ripping into it, and it looks terrible.
I love this show.
It's like they didn't even try. They're like, we got to make his skin loose, so we're going to rip it a little bit. Yeah, it's just it.
He kept throwing more and more on. Yeah. And it just looked like a cluttered mess, the zombie. With all,
it did.
It looked disgusting, actually. Why would you want to eat a corpse? Seriously.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should ask the people that went on the zombie walk.
Right.
Well, you can't ask them because they're stupid. They got bullet holes in their heads.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, let's talk about Top Chef Masters, because there was no Jesse James as a dead man this week. What the hell?
No, he died.
Did he die?
No, because I've seen commercials for next week where he does the, what do they call it, the figure eight racing? I thought it was going to be this week, but they preempted it.
Oh, he's thawing out from the ice bike ride.
And I meant to watch that Michael Irvin show. I wanted to check that out. Have you watched that yet, Bill?
No, I can't stand Michael Irvin.
That, well, he's not doing the nose candy anymore, as far as I know.
Yeah, but he's still an idiot.
There's that part in Mafia with the little kid, and he goes, ever since Michael Irvin laid off the nose candy. I got to put that in an intro. But let's talk about Top Chef Masters. I only knew who one of the chefs were, Bill, because I've seen him
too.
On TV before. I've probably seen him on Top Chef before.
Well, I saw the one guy that Willow, what was it, last season near the end?
The French guy?
No, the guy from Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay, yeah. Who
he judged the people doing the plantain battle.
Is he from Puerto Rico?
I assume he is.
Because he doesn't look like it, does he?
No, he looks like he's from the Bronx.
He's from Jersey. But they did this little thing where they tricked it up. And I thought it was kind of gross, actually. But I guess these are chefs. They're established, and they can make great food out of anything, right?
Or so you think.
And let's just play this clip and see what they had to work with, because I thought it was pretty nasty. Ugh.
For your next challenge, you'll create a street food dish to serve to the general public at Universal Studios Hollywood. There's a catch. You'll need all your culinary skills to convince the public to try something a little more adventurous than normal. Willow, let's see what protein you'll be working with.
Beef hearts.
Willow,
have you cooked
idiot.
It before?
Mad Mom again.
When Kelly unveiled the first one, it was a heart. I thought, oh, cool, awful. Awful is all the parts, you know, the interesting parts. Brains, spleen, liver, kidneys, testicles.
We're going to be trying to convince people to eat things that most Americans say are not edible.
Rick.
That's tongue.
I am not eating that testicle.
Cindy. I've got tripe. Noodle, you have? It's here for you.
Better him than me, because I've never cooked a pig ear in my life. I don't know how to do it.
I like it. I use that in France.
If you want to be the master, you need to know about food. I know to cook a pig ear. I know to cook the tripe, the tongue, the heart. I know all these things.
I love that guy's voice. He's like, I'll make a pig ear quesadilla.
That's like what you would think as the normal crazy French chef. Like, I can totally see him
as the chef in Ratatouille in 20 years.
I can't do French. It just turns into the cake boss. So
yeah, it does. Everything turns into the cake boss. It all comes back to that.
I got to say, Bill, honestly, I thought this episode was kind of boring in a way.
It was boring. It was weak.
It was.
There wasn't any real characters on it. I mean, the French guy's a character, but he's really just an asshole.
Yeah, he was, and just, it was fun to see him mess up on everything, but.
Well, it's because he's, like, so used to being that like, French chef.
The best, you know, guy or something?
He can do anything at any time, and, you know, he doesn't need to be rushed, that he never gets anything done.
Testicles.
I can cook the testicles, the heart, the tongues.
He can make everything. And the guy who's been a top chef judge before, he's the one who won.
Rick Bayless.
And what did he make? Did he do the tongue?
He used tongue, and he made tongue tacos.
That's right.
And they looked good. They looked amazing.
The chick who
had... I've had tongue before, and it's not bad. It's actually quite good.
If it's, like, cut up and it's grilled and you don't know any difference, hell, I'm pretty sure fajita meat's probably something we don't want to know
exactly.
What it is.
Exactly.
I started reading this article about how you don't want to eat fajita meat because it was talking about how that's all the cast-off parts, and I was like, you know what? I like fajitas. I'm not going to read this.
You know, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, all the cast-offs, because a lot of that that's where the flavor is, like where the fat and the connective tissue, and you cook it down, and you chop it up, and, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Come on, dude.
Well, it's like hot dogs are good, right? And that's,
Well, hot dogs, it's funny, the misconception about hot dogs are that they're made out of, like, all the worst things, and they're actually made out of, you know, some of the best meat you can get. You know, it's just that they have a weird consistency because they chop it up to like a paste.
Right. It's just like, it's like a liquid that fills the thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a pudding consistency.
Liquid
and then
meat.
They put it into the tubes or the casings, cook it, and then it's solidified.
So the chick who made, like, the stomach soup or something, what was that?
Cindy Paulson, I believe. Yeah, menudo. It's actually a very traditional Mexican soup.
Yeah, menudo.
They call it, like, a hangover cure, but I've personally never had it.
I always thought it was a bunch of...
actually quite good.
A bunch of teen Hispanic boys who would sing songs.
Yeah, I know. For the longest time, I had... when people talk about, like... they love menudo. I'm like, oh, the band?
It's like, wow, no, great soup. Musical taste, man. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm talking about food, yo. Come on, man. Top Chef, kind of boring this week, I got to say. I honestly, and this doesn't happen often, I was kind of like nodding off.
I was zoning out.
I was just
plus that Kelly Choi doesn't help. It's like I have to close my eyes when she pops up.
I don't even remember what the people look like. So hopefully it gets better next week. Kelly Choi, she's very skinny, isn't she?
She's way too skinny. It's like she's got like stick arms and legs.
Maybe
she should eat some of the food that she reviews.
I want Padma to show up in this season and show her what she's doing wrong.
I know.
It's nice, guy. Let's do it.
Now that's just racist.
Yeah, it is. Totally. Foggy. Okay, let's talk about True Blood. Because first two episodes, I gotta say, awesome show, huh?
I just have so much fun watching this show. I lose myself in it whenever I'm watching it. I'm just giddy.
It's so funny. I'm laughing through the whole thing, especially the Jason Stackhouse stuff. But
God, yeah, that was so bizarre.
The guy, what did he call himself? The Lucanator? Lucanator. He's getting,
he's getting all pissed off.
Yeah, but it starts out with this. Remember, last week ended with Lafayette in the basement dungeon, and Eric basically, I guess he's eating the guy in half or something, or chewing him and ripping him in half?
Yeah,
the guy presses the silver cross to his face, and then he just kind of grabs him and goes at it.
Pretty much pisses him off, and this is how it starts with Eric and Lafayette in the basement. Yikes.
If you have any silver on you, now will be the time to reveal it.
No way. I ain't that stupid.
Yes, you are.
Is there blood in my hair?
What?
Is there blood in my hair?
I don't know. I can't see in this light.
How about now?
Yeah, that's a little bit of blood in there. Yeah.
Oh, this is bad. Pam's gonna kill me.
Who's Pam?
Why, did you want to meet her?
No. No, I'm good.
Well, you're going to.
Where are you taking me?
To find out what you know. I wouldn't try anything rash if I were you. I'm still hungry.
And it's great. Lafayette finds... Remember the guy was talking about how he had a metal hip? So he pulls it out of his carcass.
Oh, that was so gross.
And uses awesome, that to though. Escape. But they have that dumbass waitress upstairs, whatever she is. Remember last season they said that they've glamored her way too many times? So yes. She's just kind of a dumbass. And he's like, I know you're not going to shoot me. You got to let me out of here. So she shoots him in the leg. I thought that was very entertaining. And like
that
I was saying, the stuff with Jason Stackhouse where he's going on this retreat with the Fellowship of the Sun people, and everyone loves Jason. He's just like this. And doesn't it look like the wife of the main pastor guy even has eyes for him?
Yeah.
She's like, she's sweet on him. But
those two are a little freaky.
The guy who was competing with Jason and everything with the football. And then I love there's this weird dance where this chick was singing this song. She's like, It's available on iTunes, and you buy it on...
It was like I'm saving myself for Jesus or something. It was really disturbing because it was so overtly sexual.
Yeah, she was sexualizing Jesus where she was saving her virginity for him. It was really kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I love it. It was like, you can buy my album on Amazon or Walmart, and you can get this song on iTunes right now. I thought that was hilarious. And they did that weird skit where, like, she's a...
A vampire sympathizer.
Yeah, she's a vampire. She goes, I am a vampire. It was just real stupid. She had fake teeth.
He freaks out and grabs a flagpole, cracks it in half, and goes to stab her.
And I love that guy who's like, what's with you breaking apart that American flag like some Muslim or something?
Like some Muslim.
But it shows him flashing to the Steven Root vampire from last season, Eddie. Remember?
So do you think he doesn't like the people that are, you know, persecuting the vampires? Is that what that's about?
Maybe it's just showing in his dumb way he's conflicted because he thought Eddie was he's a nice guy, and he feels really guilty about him dying or being killed, and he's just got a lot of problems going on there.
The moment the show ends, I'm just like, ah, damn it!
I really like the part Bill's shopping at the store. I don't know what clothing store he's at, but this lady sees his vampire, and she's like, I'll try this on for you. And Eric comes walking up, and he's like, what do you think of my hair? And he goes, it looks really nice. And the lady goes, oh, like gay vampires. One thing, I thought vampires are just stuck the way they were when they got turned. I don't know.
What do you mean? The hair?
Yeah, the hair. Like, but I'm going by Anne Rice books where if you cut your hair, it just grows back. Maybe he has to just cut it every day or something. I don't know.
Well, I think even whenever you die, your fingernails still grow and your hair still grows.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
I'm just assuming here. I may be dead wrong.
Like, I'm trying to think of in the books if it's like that, and I don't know. I know your facial hair stays the same. I don't know. It's just, he changed his hair. The actor didn't want long hair anymore. Maybe that's what it is. And they're just like, go with it. It's no big deal. Also,
he had another acting part that required short hair.
But Marianne visits Sam at Murlot's. And I love I know I asked this last week, but what's the drunk cop's name again?
Andy.
This witch lady's power, she gets everyone aroused and dancing and frolicking. I love seeing him like start dancing. Wasn't that just
I thought that maybe she was like a succubus, but a succubus like thrives off of men, not it doesn't enchant everybody into becoming complete and total sexual wackos.
It's kind of like, you know, I don't even know if it's a spoiler kind of thing, but it's like just has to do with passion in things. Mm-hmm. And Sam, he's a big fuddy-duddy. I'm just like, go with it, Sam. Why is he like, you need to get the hell out of here? It's like, obviously this lady's more powerful than him. Remember, she turns him into a dog and says, I can do this anytime I want. Think about that next time you threaten me. It's like, you know, come on, dude. Get with the program. I don't know. Maybe they'll show in more flashbacks. Because I, what they made it seem like he only encountered her once. It was what it looked like to me.
Yeah, when he was young and stole her money.
But isn't it weird how Tara, basically Sookie asked Tara to live with her, and she's talking about how Marianne's really nice, but there's something weird about it. And when Sookie, or she mentions moving in with Sookie, she gets really kind of scared of Marianne. But I'm wondering if her, whatever she is, enslaves people where they just have to be with her. I mean, there is
whenever Sookie tried to listen to her, she was like chanting some Sumerian incantation or something.
Yeah, it's like Nosferatu, Alamimnon Kondar or something. Something from Evil Dead 2 or something.
Klaatu, Virata, Nikto.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
What?
That's what she was chanting.
Now, the stuff with Lafayette, which I thought was funny, you know, he's just talking normal to Eric. He tries to tell him Jason Stackhouse had to do with Eddie's disappearing, but he's like, well, we can't do anything about that because we got Sookie and we need Sookie because of her power. So what else you got? And what was that? He said, like, is anyone buying V out of Dallas?
Is there any new blood coming on the market? And the dealer's name that he knew was Pussy Lover something.
Yeah, Pussy Lover 9 or something like that.
It was just like, wow.
And they're like, oh, okay. And that's what's funny is seeing Eric and Pam just like, I don't know. You know how they feel about humans. They're not. Yeah. They're very beneath them. And I just, for some reason, the look of that Asian vampire cracks me up. He just looks so goofy looking.
He looks like, it's so weird to describe. It's almost like he's Polynesian Asian fusion. It's very weird.
No, Foggy.
It's terrible.
That's bad. That's not good. I mean, seriously.
Shame on you.
I didn't do it. Foggy did it. But you know, like I said before, is that guy kind of like confronts Jason, like, you know, this may be your day, but tomorrow's the Lucanator's day. I just thought that was funny. The guy was such a dipshit. It's a great show. Every time it ends, I'm like, damn, I can't wait till next week. Yeah, it's
like
such a
little,
fun show.
Little touch football.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like right out of Top Gun, you know, playing with the boys.
I remember the guy is always, he's competing with me. He's like, what position do you play? And he's like, QB1. He's like,
no, he was the tight end.
Yeah, he's like,
I would like to have a target your size when I was playing.
Yeah, it's competition or whatever. So we'll see what goes on there. I really like the idea of, you know, the Fellowship of the Sun. I like the idea of Jason being immersed in that. It's interesting to see how they deal with this because, you know, they hate vampires. And they keep mentioning, they mentioned more than once is Godric, this vampire that's older than Eric. And he said he's more powerful than me, too.
He's more like four times as old or something.
Yeah, he's like, he's more vampire than I'll ever be. And Pam's like, oh, you don't do modesty well. He goes, no, I'm being serious. And she's like, oh. So I can't wait to see more of this. And I do know that they go to Dallas this season, Sookie and Bill do. I can't wait till they leave Bon Temps and, you know, show that. It's going to be cool. I'm really excited about it. And, you know, I'm still watching The Nurse Jackie, Bill. You still watching that?
I haven't watched it since the first episode. I'll have to.
And I'm still watching The Burn Notice. That's good.
Yeah, I'm watching The Burn Notice.
And later this
Burn
month,
Notice is good.
We got Entourage coming up. And I don't know about this Thomas Jane show called Hung. I keep seeing commercials for it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll check it out, you know?
It's almost like they're trying to answer Showtime's Californication.
It does kind of feel like that. But what do you say, Bill? We do some news.
Let's do it.
What the hell is he talking about?
God is looking down on you and shaming you.
Okay, bye. Now, Bill, before we get into the news, we didn't even talk about Sookie taking the girl, Jessica, to her parents.
Oh, yeah.
And
it turns out the dad was a pedophile.
And he would beat her. And I thought it was great how they showed how scary Bill can be, where he's like, invite me inside. And he's like, you girl, invite me. I thought that was pretty creepy and how helpless the parents were to do anything. So, all right, we got that out of the way, Bill.
I am tough as balls.
What?
Oh. She must have been around a Mr. Bucket.
All right, Bill, what do we got in news?
All right. It was quitting smoking that caused a Forks Township, Pennsylvania man to drive a lawn tractor into the patio of his home and threaten to tear down the house with his wife inside.
Uh-oh.
That's some serious addiction.
It's really hard.
Charles L. Brinker, 49, before he was sentenced to 18 months of probation, 15 hours of community service, and fined $500 after he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of reckless endangerment. I was on Chantix to quit smoking, and I believe that had a lot to do with it. I'm not a doctor, but I believe it had a lot to do with it.
What is that?
Oh, I guess it's some sort of medication to help you quit smoking. That makes you crazy? I have no idea.
What the hell?
Real sound from the scene.
Wow, scary.
Brinker made the threats to his wife, Diane Brinker, as he drove a Bobcat loader into the rear patio of their home. Police said he used the tractor many times to ram a bar that supports the house structurally. Hey, so he was using his head.
Oh,
he's like, if I get rid of this thing, the whole thing will go down.
Oh!
All right, and I love this story. Australia cracks me up because they have the marsupials, and I just think they're adorable. That's right, I said adorable.
Aww.
But this is even better. Wallabies are getting stoned on Tasmania's opium poppy crops.
Holy shit!
And hopping around in circles.
Oh, gnarly!
Yeah. Attorney General Laura Giddings say wallabies have created crop circles of squashed poppies as they increasingly hop into the field eating the poppy heads. That causes them to get high and run around in turns, creating crop circles. That's what creates crop circles.
Oh, that's awesome. They finally explained
waste
the mystery.
Wallabies.
Wow, that's cool.
The one interesting bit that I found recently in one of my briefs on the poppy industry was that we have a problem with wallabies entering the poppy fields, getting as high as a kite and going around in circles, Miss Giddings is quoted in the Mercury newspaper as saying. Then they crash. We see crop circles in the poppy industry from wallabies that are high. Tasmanian Alkaloids field operations manager Rick Rockliffe said wildlife and livestock which ate the poppies were known to act weird. No
high
shit.
High five for that.
Thank you.
That's totally awesome.
It seems like all these animals, all they do is they eat the stuff and then they walk around in circles. Like, there have been many stories about sheep that have eaten some of the poppies after harvesting them, and all they would do is walk around in circles, Mr. Rockliffe told the Mercury. And Tasmania, I didn't know this, Tasmania is the world's largest producer of legally grown opium for the pharmaceutical market.
Whoa.
About 500 farmers grow the crop, supplying the market with about 50% of the world's raw material for morphine and related opiates. How do the animals get in there and eat that shit? What's not, you know, what's stopping humans?
They're like, yeah, man. Woo!
Yeah, let's go eat the poppies and walk around in circles.
I know that, dude.
They probably, I love the way they said that they just crash after they eat it. So they get insanely high. Walk around in circles, creating crop circles, and then just crash right there. I wonder if they wake up like, whoa, what happened? No jail for Sheboygan man who
Sheboygan.
Used webcam to peep on a teen.
Oh.
A 31-year-old Sheboygan man will spend no time in jail for using a webcam concealed in a heat vent to watch and make recordings of a teenage girl change clothes. Joseph J. Weisfeld reached a plea deal under which two felonies and three misdemeanors were dismissed in exchange for a no-contest plea to a single misdemeanor count of invading privacy by use of surveillance device. That's just wrong.
What did I say?
That guy should be serving jail time.
And you know what you did.
That's
Weisfeld's wife called police March 29th after the teenager, whom Weisfeld knows, discovered recordings of herself on Weisfeld's computer. The wife greeted police by yelling, "You need to go arrest my husband. He's a pervert."
I can't remember. I was high at the time.
Huh?
Well, that's nice to know that the wife thinks he's a pervert, too.
That's good.
Shame on you.
It says that the original charges included felony counts of capturing an image of nudity, which each carries a maximum 18-month prison term. This dude should have been in jail for years. It's just, that's our legal system in America. Way
I'm
to go.
I'm hurt by all this, but, you know, I'm excited and hurt at the same time. It's going to be different.
Yeah, enjoy prison.
I guess he, you know, he enjoyed it, but now he's got to pay the price. A motorcycle crashed into a pronghorn Saturday in Grand Teton National Park, injuring the two people riding the vehicle.
Holy shit. What's a pronghorn, Steven? You ride motorcycles.
Yeah, what's a pronghorn?
Have you ever crashed into one of those? Is that a motorcycle crashing? Or
if it is, it's a stretch.
Who is this? What's your operating number?
Okay, so a pronghorn is like an antelope.
Oh, okay.
It's got the horns look like prongs, so pronghorn.
Don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Right, so they hit this poor son of a bitch. Corin Burgess was transferred Sunday from St. John's Medical Center in Jackson University of Utah Health Science Center in Salt Lake City. Hospital officials said they had no record of her. So wait a second. They crash into a thing and then they transfer her to a hospital, but they have no idea who she is. That sucks.
That's weird.
The pronghorn's family struck back and erased her identity.
I have nothing to say to anybody.
They hacked now the system.
Now she's got to run around like Sandra Bullock in The Net to prove that she's who she is.
She's off the grid.
Yep.
No one can help her.
Those suckers are dangerous, those pronghorns. They're really good at computers.
You know what was scary in that movie? Dennis Miller. What the hell was he doing in that movie?
Dennis Miller doing in any movie in the 90s?
Come on, dude.
Except for Bordello of Blood. Classic.
Oh my god, that movie. It did have some hot chicks in it, though.
What happened?
It had that girl that was in Baywatch.
Erica Eleniak.
Erica, I had a thing for her, man, and her big bushy eyebrows.
Big bushy eyebrows.
Big bushy eyebrows. And then it also had that Angie Everhart in it as the...
Wow, poor Angie Everhart.
Yeah, can you imagine marrying little Joe Pesci? That's creepy.
She did?
From what I understand, yeah, she's pregnant with his kid.
Don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Oh, Bill. Don't go
well, it's true.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
All right. You got to love living in Maine when lobsters are plentiful. Portland, Maine, a man suspected into breaking into a Maine restaurant will have to get used to jailhouse food after workers at the restaurant discovered lobsters and wine missing and the suspect asleep on a bench. Police say Paul Bruneau broke into the Portland Lobster Company through a rear window and stuffed his pockets with cash before chowing down on the better part of 11 prepared lobsters worth about $300. He washed it all down with white wine. The Portland Press Herald reports Bruneau also left the refrigerator open, causing about $1,000 worth of food to be thrown away.
Bruneau,
who was already out on jail, was being held Friday at the Cumberland County Jail. He couldn't be reached for comment. That's one hell of a crime.
You suck your own.
That sounds like something I would do.
Shrimp.
Oh, my God. Lobster. Free lobster.
I have lost all respect for all of you.
Sorry, I just really like lobster.
Yeah, come on. Maybe.
All right, and that's the news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
And I think you might have insulted Joe Pesci a little bit there.
Well,
No. You insulted him a little bit.
What do you say, guys? We do some DVDs, huh? Ow!
some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! DVDs like she, Blue Race, and a definition! DVDs! Yeah, the DVDs, everybody! Woo!
What happened?
Huh? All right, Bill, the Stop. DVDs.
Stop. All right, DVDs.
Stop! Stop!
For Tuesday, June 30th, 2009, starting off with 12 Rounds, starring John Cena and Ashley Scott.
John Cena.
He's the wrestling guy.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And Ashley Scott from Birds of Prey.
Where is she from?
12 Rounds, huh?
Yeah, I guess he's a... I was just one. But I guess he's a cop.
Two.
He stops a brilliant thief getting away.
A brilliant thief?
With a multi-million dollar heist. And the thief's girlfriend is accidentally killed.
Oh, no, that sucks.
So the thief's pissed off. And the criminal mastermind enacts his revenge, taunting John Cena with 12 rounds of near impossible puzzles.
Come on, dude.
And tasks that he has to somehow complete to save the life of the woman.
Whoa, John Cena, he's all like muscle and no brain. He's going to have a difficult time with that.
No, he's totally smart.
Oh, okay. He's a smart guy?
Yeah, he's very smart.
Yeah, one of those is a crazy puzzle that has all the pieces. You got to rearrange them.
I can never solve those. I'd be screwed.
It has that one open.
Yeah, it's got the one open.
Emma's got some Dora puzzle like that. And she's like, will you help me with this? Like, I can't do this, man.
Those things confound me. I'm just way too stupid.
I just want to smash it. Smash!
Just take it apart and put it back together. Just like whenever we were kids and we'd take the stickers off a Rubik's Cube.
I tell you, somebody sent me an email. When I opened it up, it scrambled my screen like that. I had to rearrange it to get to work again.
Bastards.
No way, no how!
Yikes, stop yelling, lady.
She's very angry about the erotic exotic cake.
Oh! Oh!
Erotic exotic, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
The white tigers. Right.
Hey, Mom, maybe you need to get laid or something. Oh, no, you didn't!
Maybe you should go to the bachelorette party, Ma.
He may be the cake boss, but he ain't the boss.
Oh,
that I heard that line and I cringed.
All my respect for Buddy went out the window right there.
Yeah,
yeah, like
Buddy's shit.
Like I respected him. Yeah, even in the intro, he's like, "I'm the boss." It's like, "Nah, you're not the boss."
This is my crew, me familia.
You're the son working for your ma, is what you're doing,
yeah.
Jackass.
Your dad didn't leave you shit.
No. You insulted him a little bit.
Next DVD is Do the Right Thing, 20th Anniversary Edition DVD and Blu-ray.
Awesome, on Blu-ray.
The only Spike Lee movie, well, not the only one, but probably one of the only ones that I actually like.
I'd have to think about that. How many, I don't know. I really want to see that last one
he did. Hasn't done a lot of good ones,
The Miracle at, he's done a few. I'd say.
I actually like that one, what was it, Inside Man?
Inside
I actually like that.
I'm thinking, what about Clockers? Did you like that?
Not really.
I think it's got some hilarious dialogue in it, that's for sure. When the cops are talking, that stuff is hilarious.
That's true.
I'm still not, there's one I'm trying to remember, I can't, my mind's going blank. You'd have to list like all of his movies and that would take forever.
Clockers was the one with
Harvey Keitel.
Okay, yeah, John Turturro.
Yeah.
There's the 25th Hour, Edward Norton. Love that
movie.
Yeah,
I like that, but it was really, I mean, it was basically the book on film.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, it's I guess it is.
He translated it right.
It's good. He's a good filmmaker. I honestly think he is.
I'm
not even talking about,
He's just a little arrogant.
That Mars Blackman stuff with Jordan, did you like that, those commercials?
That
was going back a ways. You need to put some of those in the intro.
I will.
Break,
I'll do that next week. I'll put some of those in.
No, we're not doing the show next week, Bill, remember?
Oh, yeah, the week after next.
We're doing the book show next week.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Whoa. I'll
do that right away. Next DVD is Eastbound and Down, the HBO series with Danny McBride.
It's a funny show. Funny show. It's wrong in so many ways. It's have such uncomfortable moments, but it's hilarious.
And also Entourage, the complete fifth season. Who would ever buy this show on DVD?
That was a horrible thing to say.
Oh.
It's like you watch Entourage once. You don't own it.
You watch on HBO. They keep rerunning the last season, right?
I just don't get that.
It's for the collectors, you know, or people that don't have HBO. They like to, you know.
Catch up a year late.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Eureka Season 3.0. I guess it's the first half of Season 3.
Right. Yeah. Sci-Fi does that with all their series.
So I actually enjoy Eureka quite a bit, but Season 3, the beginning of it's kind of weak, and then it picked up really nicely near the middle of it. I haven't watched The Return yet, though. I think it's... Is it already back on?
No, it will be back in a week or so. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's good stuff. I'm glad it survived. And is that on Blu-ray, Bill?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Bummer.
All right, moving on. Let me get my next page here.
Come on, dude.
Next DVD is the IT Crowd.
Ah, the British show, right?
Yes, the British show. Written by Graham Linhan.
That you like.
Linhan. I can't. I'm not exactly sure how to say his name. I know he did Father Ted, which was another funny series. But
what's your operating number?
Very entertaining show. I'm glad it's getting a second season release here on DVD. But I already own the seasons on Region 2.
And it's
DVD
also on Netflix streaming. If you want to watch it like that.
Oh, is it really? That's nice.
Yeah, they're playing it on IFC too.
Do they censor it or not?
No, it's. I watched one last week.
All F-bombs.
Yeah.
Nice.
I always like when channels like IFC or Sundance or.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's one of those two that's playing it, and I was thinking it was IFC.
And you know what you did.
Yeah, and I've been pleasantly surprised that I've heard that, I think it was you that told me, Jason, that MGM HD has started playing commercials in their movies, and so far everything I've recorded off there hasn't had any.
Oh, good.
So I was, like, I recorded Flash Gordon off of there a couple weeks ago, and it doesn't have any, and I'm
maybe
always
watching that.
Maybe they stopped.
Maybe people complained or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
We were watching something at a commercial, and I was like, lame.
I mean, I don't mind if it's like a 30-second commercial, if it doesn't really completely take me out of the movie, but it can be annoying.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next DVD. This is important for all those fans of ours that have tweenage daughters. The Jonas Brothers Concert Experience Deluxe Extended Movie.
You little frick, you.
Wow.
On Blu-ray and DVD.
Yikes.
And I guess it's 3D, so there you go.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that, huh?
Something I'll never understand the appeal of. But
Dad
hey.
Is looking down on you and
something Jason
you.
Gets to look forward to in a few years.
No, Jason's daughter will never get into that stuff.
Yeah, hopefully not. God,
Jason is too, he's a taskmaster when it comes to that stuff. It's like, no, you watch Star Wars.
Now I'm going to show you a little something called The Monkees.
Banana Splits.
Yeah, Banana Splits.
Here's Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I was talking to my sister and my niece, who's 4 going on 5, loves the old original Scooby-Doos. And that just cracks me up because they were so bad.
Yeah.
It's just, I just like showing stuff like that to my niece. And I got her DVDs of like Rainbow Bright and Gem.
Awesome.
All the shows from like the 80s that even I watched with my sister.
You know what I'd really like to watch is The Real Ghostbusters again, that cartoon.
I bought that series from Time Life. They had the whole series. I bought it, and I still have yet to watch it.
I bet my daughter would like that.
I bet you she would. I'll have to copy those.
Sweet.
But I was so happy when I saw that was coming out on DVD, because that was one of the things I loved on Saturday mornings on ABC.
I keep seeing the Scooby-Doo stuff. Like, they have movies now on Cartoon Network. Have you seen this? Where
they're
like
terrible.
Like Scooby-Doo Zombie Island or something.
Yeah, I tried watching one like that the other day where they were on some amusement park or something that was shut down. And it's so weird to hear all the different, like, the new voices, like Billy West doing a voice. And it's
Casey
not
Kasem not working anymore.
You know what? It doesn't sound like him doing. I think it's Billy West that does Shaggy now.
What?
I don't know. It just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, the originals were bad, but now it's just, why would I watch new ones that are equally as bad? There was a certain charm to the ones from the 70s.
I'm hurt by all of this, but, you know, I'm excited and hurt at the same time. It's going to be different.
Okay.
Big fan. Big fan. Big fan.
Big fan of Scooby-Doo.
Man, here we go from the Shout Factory. Gotta love these guys. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Parker Lewis can't lose the complete first season. And when I say complete, I mean complete. These guys at Shout Factory put these things together with so much great special material and the full episodes.
That's really cool. I really like that show, and I've been wanting to watch it for a while. And like I said, I'd been watching it on YouTube and stuff, so that's going to be sweet. And it's a lot of episodes,
like,
too.
It kind of played off that whole Ferris Bueller vibe. I remember when they tried to make the Ferris Bueller TV show, and that was terrible.
Oh, it was. It came out the same season, too.
Yeah.
And you would watch that and go, dude, Parker Lewis is more
way
inventive
better.
And creative. Remember all what I liked best about it, because I was like really into like camera work at the time, is the camera work and the editing I loved on Parker Lewis. The quick editing, the quick zoom-ins and stuff. I loved all that. It was so creative. And then you watch go over to NBC and watch the horrible Ferris Bueller show, and it just had no
so
heart
bad.
It had no inspiration, you know what I mean? I mean, just watch the movie and you come up with ideas, but they didn't have anything, man.
It's like, hey, we got the show name.
Yeah
really, this will bring in people.
I remember hating the actor they got to play Ferris too.
Yeah, who the hell was that?
Like somebody Schlatter or something. I can't remember his name.
I gotta look it up real quick.
What did I say?
I remember the kid.
Charles Schlatter is what I'm gonna say his name was.
Yeah, Charlie Schlatter. You're right.
Total recall, buddy.
Mind like a steel trap.
Sometimes. I can't remember that cop on True Blood, though.
But wasn't Jennifer Aniston in it as Jeannie Bueller?
Yeah, she was the sister, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it says right here.
Wow.
That's hilarious. And Amy Dolan's was Sloane Peterson.
Sloane? Mr. Peterson?
Oh, man, this is pathetic.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Wow.
It lasted 13 episodes.
Yep, show sucked.
All right, next DVD is Secret Diary of a Call Girl, Season 2. The incredibly softcore porn show that Billy Piper's in. Yeah. This is just one of those shows that it just gets more and more raunchy each time I watch it.
I've watched it here and there on Showtime, and I couldn't get into it. I don't know.
It's so weird because
there's nothing wrong
with it.
It
celebrates this lifestyle of being a whore.
It's a celebration, fellas.
Yeah,
it's nice. Hey, it's great. Like, she enjoys what she's doing, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, really. It's really kind of disturbing. And I've always bizarrely, for some weird reason, found Billy Piper attractive.
Yeah, she is.
It's like every feature on her face is bigger than the other one. Her eyes are huge. Her nose is bigger. Her mouth is bigger.
She's interesting to look at. She really is. I like her. And you know what?
I am tough as balls.
Whatever that means.
I have no idea. All right, here's the disaster for you. Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Yikes.
On DVD and Blu-ray.
Sweet.
And I love that it's subtitled Unleashed and Unrated.
Yeah, okay.
Like, yeah, Kristen Kruick's going to be fighting naked or something.
That's just because the MPAA didn't feel like sitting through it. That's why they didn't rate it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I love that it says it's based on the wildly popular Street Fighter video games. Yeah, okay.
Those are
so popular.
I had no idea. I'm sure it has a lot to do with them also.
Say, hey, obvious byline guy. These are based on video games.
I can't wait to watch the unrated cut audio commentary.
Sweet.
Because if there's a movie screaming for an audio commentary, it's this one.
So how was it? I mean,
I'm not watching it.
Reviews of it where it's just dismal. Well, it's just
pretty terrible.
Boring as hell. Piece of crap.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Boring conversation. It really shows her acting chops here.
Yes. I know. I was crook. Like she's a crook.
Crook. Ruick. Crook. All right. They call me Bruce. 25th anniversary edition.
Awesome. Not it's my name is Bruce, years. But they call me Bruce. Remember the guy? And you know what? This is going back to childhood. May have seemed like a funny movie when I was a kid. It's probably really bad.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could even sit through 5 minutes of
they
it now.
They call me Bruce.
But when I was a kid, I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it was. It's funny shit, man.
It was like, I look like Bruce Lee, but I'm a klutz. Look how funny I am. Punch me in the balls.
But hopefully they'll air it on TV or something and I can watch it. You know, sometimes that happens when DVD's coming out. All of a sudden you see it on TV somewhere.
And be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, good, maybe they do that as like a reminder.
Testicles.
Oh, okay. If you don't have time to get to the theater to see Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, why not pick up Transmorphers: Fall of Man?
Yes! Awesome! Those people have no shame, do they?
No, they do not.
Shame on you.
Come on, Transmorphers.
Fall of Man.
It's just, I want to see them at a video store. I haven't been to a video store in years, but right next to each other on the shelf.
And that would be so funny if somebody picked that one up. It was like, shit.
Grandma, will you rent me Transformers soon? Sure, I'll get it for you, honey. And she's like, Transmorphers? What the hell, Grandma?
Like, wait a second. This is supposed to have Shia LaBeouf, not Bruce Boxleitner.
No way, no how.
Bruce Boxleitner. Hey, do you guys remember that movie called Robot Jocks?
Yes.
Awesome.
Very nice.
Oh, man.
I remember, it's so funny when you think of those days like Blockbuster, I go like, man, Robot Jocks is still checked out? Jeez, I'll never see that movie.
I know. And it had such a cool cover. If I remember, it was like an explosion behind a big Transformer-like thing.
And how many times do you wait forever? Oh, finally they got it. You go home and watch it like, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. Damn it.
What a piece of crap.
This looks so cool.
The cover was awesome. I waited months to see this.
Well, even like the lettering was like that kind of RoboCop lettering with the lines through it. And
Robot it Jocks. It had
sometimes,
the guy from Alien Nation, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was awesome.
What the hell was his name?
Gary Graham or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. Gary Graham.
Two for two.
Yeah. But what's the drunk cop's name on True Blood, man? Why can't I remember? Oh, it's Andy. Why can't I remember?
You know what's crazy is for some reason I keep thinking of Andy Dufresne. But I think that's Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Oh! Oh!
You're right.
Yeah, I'm good! Yeah, okay.
There's Wiley Dufresne, too.
There is Wiley Dufresne. All right, and if you want to follow up in a double feature of shit, why not pick up Tunnel Rats, Unrated Director's Cut?
Oh my
directed
god.
Directed by Uwe Boll.
Wow, and there's the video game tie-in.
Yes, there is.
Tunnel Rats.
If you're a Vietnam veteran, had the horrible job of being a tunnel rat. Why not have a movie made about you by Uwe Boll?
Uwe Boll has honored you by making a film about it. Aren't you?
With Michael Paré.
Oh, gotta love that guy. Eddie?
Yeah.
I was trying to do the Eddie and the Cruisers music.
I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business.
Whoa!
Oh!
It's on.
Whoa, okay.
He wants to box
the dark side! Oh!
Big time.
I love Uwe, jackass.
Uwe Boll.
It seems like Uwe Boll must have been a huge fan of Michael Paré because I'm looking at his IMDb listing and he's in every single Uwe Boll movie since forever.
Wow. You know that guy who was like, I remember my sister, my older sister, she's like, he's hot, but God, he's a bad actor. You know, he's just like a guy
who
he just had the face or whatever, and it's just like, okay, he can't act worth a shit. Just stand here and hold a shotgun. You'll look awesome.
You are on your own responsible that you don't make movies.
God, I love people that English isn't their first language.
It's like, I don't even know what he's talking about.
In a very interesting way for me.
Last DVD is the last film that Joaquin Phoenix seemed to have his shit together. Two Lovers, directed by James Gray.
Oh, okay.
Where he's a guy that moves back to his childhood home after a breakup, and he meets two women and falls in love with both of them.
Nice.
Phoenix,
what a life. Yeah, they're both gorgeous. One of them's Gwyneth Paltrow. The other one is hot, and I can't remember her name.
Vanessa Shaw, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a tough life, and then he went crazy after this movie.
Well, happens. Whenever you have two really hot women fighting over you in a movie, you just kind of...
mine!
You lose your shit.
Yeah, this is the movie that David Letterman was asking him about in that interview.
Yeah.
That now infamous interview. Which was all just basically planned and a scam, right, Steven?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. You insulted him a little bit.
Well, sorry.
I'll keep insulting him.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. And that's DVDs for this week.
You little frickin'.
Whoa. Billy Bats, what's this problem? All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome. Parker Lewis, man. I really want that. I can't wait to watch those. It's going to be awesome.
It should be.
Don't go busting my board, Billy, okay?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a T42, anything with a swing or two, and I love you. I love to sing.
What did I say? No way, no how!
Hey, leave that poor little owl alone, lady.
Let Owl Jolson sing.
His name was Owl Jolson. Love that kid. All right, everybody, that was episode 169 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to send us a voicemail like the many people did and made us feel proud and special, call 1-206-202-3491. Also, send us email. We got a few emails that, I got to say, really inspired me to want to do the show tonight. You know, sometimes it's just like, meh, I'm going to do the show. But it was like, hey, I'm geared up to go. Hey, people like us or whatever. You know, hey, you know, people, they tell us exactly what they like about the show. And sometimes you're like, yeah, awesome. I'm glad someone likes that. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and tell us your favorite parts of the show. And I got to say, what Adam's saying that him and his friend joke about go downstairs, Mary, is hilarious because I'll think it out loud. Go downstairs, Mary. And I'm not even talking to anybody. It's like, what is Jason talking about? Go downstairs, Mary.
Cake Boss has become our new blowout.
Go downstairs, Mary.
Yes, exactly.
They're using the brown water.
I love that.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm really, it's sad that there's no Jesse James, because I love talking about that show, too.
Oh, I'm not doing it.
Huh? So also, if you'd like to check out Mulberry Old School, and it's funny, some people have suggested some titles, and I'm going to use them, Bill. Some of them I haven't put on yet, but one person suggested, and I feel so stupid, Bill, because they wrote, hey, the second episode of Nowhere Mulberry, how about Not Attack of the Clones? And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, did we mention Attack of the Clones? And then I realized episode two, Not Attack of the Clones. And I was like, oh, I get it. Okay. It's just kind of funny. I felt really stupid for not getting it right away. I like was in my brain for a while and then went, oh.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
But my favorite episode title, KFC Chicken Legs. You know what I'm saying, Steven?
You mess with the bull and you get the horn.
Shut up, buddy. Oh, God.
Okay, go get water. Go get some water.
Okay, buddy, whatever. But like I said, next week we're not doing the show. We're taking off for the 4th of July weekend. You know, I'm having to go out of town. It'll be the first time I'll be utilizing my iPod Touch with the Wi-Fi capabilities.
Nice.
But we are going to do our NIMM Book Club show, where we'll be talking about The Gunslinger, Dark Tower 1. And here's the thing, Steven. I'm going to have to do the show on Thursday. You think you'll be in town for the holidays yet?
I'm same thing. I'm flying in. I'll be in late on Thursday. I'll be in.
If you're not home yet or something.
7 o'clock.
All right. Hopefully you'll be here by then. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, I was supposed to be here in here an hour earlier, but there was a big rainstorm in Denver.
What I'm going to say is if you don't think you'll be here, I want you to tell me what you thought of it, and then I'll mention what Steven thought of it and stuff like that. Because you're reading it right now, right?
Yeah, I'm reading
it. I'm really excited to do this, Bill, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
I'm ready to read. I was in this big, I was like, went from that Stephen King book at the movies to The Gunslinger, and I was in reading mode. I need stuff to read. I need stuff to read. And now I've stopped, and it's just like, I got to get started going again. I got to start on the next book, The Drawing of the Three, and I'm really excited to talk about all that stuff. And I'm thinking of just going a little crazy with this episode, and I hope people enjoy it. I really do. And
I think it'll be fun.
When you see it appear on the feed, if you haven't read it, you know, there's no, if you plan on reading it, just download it, set it aside. When I finish the book, I'll listen to that, and we'll tell you all about it. You know what I'm saying?
It's the companion.
Yeah, and Bill, hopefully you and I can finish Gears of War 2 soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it isn't a drive error. We're going to have to test it with something else.
Oh, yeah, Bill's talking about where last time we played, my game kept freezing up. And
it would say disc unreadable. And it's either, I've heard there's rumors of copies of Gears of War 2 that happened with, and I've also heard that it could be your drive that's failing. So we need to, like, test something
and
else.
You know,
like
honestly,
making burnout or something.
I got
to
tell
you. You can bring it up to my house and see if it's the disc.
Well, what I was going to say is the original Gears of War froze on me, too, a few times. I'm almost thinking it gets hung up between cutscenes and gameplay. Something happens. And maybe it was heat because we'd been playing for, like, I don't know, 2 hours or something when it started acting up.
Yeah, it took us, like, what, like 2 hours to get past that one section?
Next time it does that, maybe I should just turn it off for, like, 10 minutes or something.
Or pull it out of the cabinet a little bit.
What I'm going to do, I thought of this idea, I'm going to stick ice cubes behind it.
There you go. Or on top of it.
You get that one of those laptop coolers, you know?
Yeah, with the little fans.
You know what? That's probably not a bad idea to put it on top of one because that's where all the heat is, on the bottom of the Xbox when it's laying flat.
And I got to announce that, you know, a lot of people will follow Twitter, right? We're coming up with Nimmer, which is like our news feed that you can get anywhere on your cell phones, your iPhone. The only problem is it's weak old news by the time you get it. So, like, for instance, the news story right now is Davy Carradine found dead.
Yeah.
So by next week, you'll be finding out about Michael Jackson. Jacko.
In our universe, he
Jacko
just died.
Is dead-o. Wow.
Wow.
Sometimes your brain just thinks of something and you say it out loud.
I wonder if that's actually been used by, like,
Jacko is dead-o.
Jacko dead-o.
It's like, first of all, Jacko, oi, was Jetto, all right? Jacko from Australia. He wasn't friggin' Michael Jackson. That's one thing that I always hated is, you know, the the British tabloids say, Jacko's gone bonkers or whatever. They'd always love saying Jacko, and I just thought that was so funny and stupid.
I never understood the obsession with the whole Jacko thing.
I don't either. The only thing that I thought was hilarious is that I don't know if he owned them or he wanted to buy the Elephant Man's bones.
Elephant Man's bones, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, man, I gotta buy that shit. That shit's crazy.
I remember that video he did, that Leave Me Alone, where he's dancing with the
Oh, yeah, remember also the controversial video. Michael Jackson is smashing a car. This is very disturbing.
Oh, yeah, he was so angry.
He's like, I want to apologize for smashing a car.
I think he just watched, or he just played Street Fighter, and he got to the part where you needed to bash the car. Or was that Final Fight? Which one was that?
I don't know.
There was a section after a level where you actually had to beat the shit out of a car in a certain amount of time, and you earned bonus points.
You're talking about Final Fight. That was
That's
Final
right.
Fight.
Is that Final Fight?
You know what's funny is I just remembered Swiley in the forum. He posted a picture of E. Honda from Street Fighter in the sauna.
Oh, nice.
Remember in the bathhouse? It's a
yes. Well, that's a bathhouse fight.
I thought that was hilarious, but seriously, anybody, I just want to go back to that time when people are in an uproar over the new Michael Jackson video where he's smashing a car. It's like, what? Anybody who was offended by that, think back to that. You were offended by that? It's like,
I'm so angry.
Then when Janet Jackson flashed her breast on, it's like, okay, smashing a car is one thing, but now I see breastuses on the TV.
Breastuses with big nipple shields.
It's a bulletproof nipple shield. I thought it was what it was. I thought, you know, I don't know about you guys, but
it scared me.
That didn't offend me. I was just kind of like confused more than anything.
Yeah, actually,
what's this shield for?
My mouth a little bit.
What's she protecting that nipple from?
What? I would. Well, you got to think about it.
Extreme danger.
Yeah.
Someone could take a shot at her and it would protect her.
Yeah, and hopefully
it could pop the silicone implant.
It bounces off her nipple guard and hits Justin Timberlake right in the jugular.
Is it
kind of
like Wonder Woman's little bracelets?
Oh, that would have been the best thing ever.
Oh, that's just wrong, isn't it?
Oh!
Hey, it never hurts to dream.
Yeah, but anyway, Michael Jackson, whatever, he's dead. Ed McMahon, the guy who brought us Star Search. Come
on. John, you're back together now.
Everyone keeps talking about Tonight Show. Remember, he did Star Search before there was American Idol and any of that stuff. My favorite part, remember this, Steven? TV spokesmodel segment. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what spokesmodel doesn't need to walk around in a bikini?
Also, best part, this is the most awkward part of Star Search, is when they would have the skits with the actors, where they would do a skit.
Well, I don't know what was worse, the comedy acts that would come on or the kid singers.
I think, isn't that where Sawyer Brown was discovered?
Yes. Isn't that something to be proud of?
I think Christina Aguilera was discovered there, too. So it brought us a lot
Jim
of...
Jim Carrey was on there.
He brought so much. And Farrah Fawcett, what more can you say than Charlie's Angels? Her, basically that
she inspired
poster,
me with the red shirt.
Yeah, that famous poster. And also, Steven, best part of Logan's Run, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really... You know what I thought was sad is before she died, I kept seeing the commercials for Farrah. This little thing about her dying. And then she died before it aired or whatever. I just thought
Well, it aired, but there was the part two.
Oh,
yeah, I was at lunch yesterday when I saw her.
Steven,
then,
honestly, okay, out of the three, who are you more upset about dying?
Ed McMahon was old. That's okay, you know.
Ed McMahon, yeah.
He had, like, no money left, and that just sucks.
That sucks, yeah. Farrah, she went really a bad
she was
way.
Suffering.
That was a bad way.
Yeah, I heard that's, like, one of the most painful forms of cancer.
And I probably feel most sorry for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, that's self doing drugs and whatever, you know.
Yeah, he was a freak.
The typical cliche of burning the candle at both ends.
Right. And I don't know if you guys read my Facebook today, if you had a chance, but I had a theory that he was onto the murderers of David Carradine. The same assassins took him out is what I was thinking.
I think that's wishful thinking.
So, like Perez, like Perez Hilton, he faked it. Now he's the little white girl he always wanted to be.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
It's little disturbing. White girl. The little white girl without a nose.
Wow, that's a little insulting.
I wonder.
Guys.
I'm just waiting.
No. You insulted him a little bit.
I'm. Who is gonna leak the autopsy pictures?
Oh,
you know it's
gonna
happen.
Oh yeah.
That's sick, man.
Well, I was like,
sick.
They were saying, you know, they weren't even letting the hospital personnel into the hospital yesterday.
Yeah, you know,
it's like,
all that stupid secretive shit. Who gives a crap?
It's like,
I just want to go play Moonwalker on the Sega
people,
Genesis.
The people
Bill.
Who have been on ship for 12
oh,
hours or what?
That was the worst game ever.
ever. Moonwalker.
Because you had to open up every freaking door to find the little girl. Michael! And then she'd run away. Oh, I hated that game. I never got past the level where it was like a car park and you turned into the robot. And I hated that game. I bought it and I hated it. The arcade version was much better because it was just it was almost like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, kind of like a hack and slash.
Right.
But the Genesis game is up there with some of the absolute worst games ever.
I have lost all respect for all of you.
Wow, sorry. What do you guys say we end the show?
Let's see.
Yeah, I think it's about time.
Let's do it. See you guys next week with our NIMM Book Club, if you are so inclined to listen. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this show. What am I talking about? Good times.
I hope you enjoy being enjoyed.
And also, hey, enjoy the 4th of July, and stay safe, people. Don't drink and drive.
Even our fans in the other countries that don't celebrate the 4th of July, enjoy it.
Steven, be careful with the fireworks, right?
Right.
I know you're always going crazy with that, the fireworks.
Love the fireworks.
Steven loves it, explosives, right?
Yes. That's one thing that sucks here is I could drive 10 miles down the road and go to this Phantom Fireworks. They have, you know, it's like the super big fireworks store, but you can't set any of them off.
I've got a whole half acre up at a lake.
You can't set them off.
I got a whole half acre I can go shoot them off at.
Nice. You know, you always hear what sounds suspiciously like gunfire sometimes.
Yeah, I think, honestly, people are just shooting shotguns into the air.
Yeah, people...
I can do that, too.
Driving around the bad areas, it sounds mysteriously like a submachine gun firing in the air.
Well, I'm on... my house is on 3 acres of land, but I just, you know... And I could probably fire shit off, but I'm just too much of a pussy to do it. I'd fire it off, and they'd be like, oh, no, the cops are coming for me.
See, here's what I do, Bill. I fire it with my gun with a silencer.
What's the use of the celebration?
Oh.
It's a secret celebration.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just for him. It's like he's part of the Masons and the Stonecutters,
It's
a secret society.
It's a part of the 4th of July you don't know about, we can't tell about.
Yes, okay. All right, that's it. That's okay.
I don't even
know. We won't
talk
about it anymore.
All right, let's end the show. All right, later, everybody.
It's a celebration, fellas. Salute.
Now this is podcasting.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Shame on you.